The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. Oh, it's a deep burn. Oh, so deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called, jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Boom!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is bye week here at Gillette Stadium, but we have tons to talk about, and we'll be doing that until 2 o'clock here in PFW in Progress. It's a big day of Patriots.com radio. A lot to talk about. We're going to start off, of course, talking about the big win against the Dallas Cowboys. And I know nationally,
how about them Cowboys?
The focus is on how maybe Jason Garrett and the Cowboys blew the game. But around here, we're going to focus on why this was a big win for the Patriots and what they did to make it a big win, and all the reasons why, you know, it's such a good win for the Patriots. We'll focus on that. We'll let Dallas and the rest of the country focus on how the Cowboys blew it. But there's a lot of reasons to be excited about this win, starting with the emergence of the defense for once this season. So we'll get into that. I also want to talk about the trade deadline. I want to talk about you know, what went on after the game in Detroit with Schwartzy and Harbaugh. I'm sure everyone's going to want to chime in on that. There's a lot to talk about.
Come after me!
The Jets.
I'm a man!
Right.
I'm 40!
Right. I think they're both over 40, actually. But we'll talk about the Jets game last night. You know, everyone's talking about how, oh, you know, the Jets overcame their bickering and won a game. You know, they didn't overcome that. They overcame the woeful Miami Dolphins, and they beat them. I mean, was there anyone that was doubting that the Jets were going to win this game? I don't care what was going on in their locker room. So we'll talk about whether or not the Jets are going to be a factor going forward. I don't think so. I think they're going to lose to San Diego, and I think the problems are going to continue in New York. So all this stuff we're going to talk about today until 2 o'clock. Web radio, patriots.com is the email address, and the phone number on the Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398.
Hey, Fred, isn't it kind of ironic that it's the bye week and Eric's not here?
Well, he'll be here. He'll be
I know,
by
it's
later.
Just funny, though. When you said it, the first thing I thought of was Eric.
Yeah, well, okay. Anyway.
Oh, whatever, fine.
Yeah.
It was funny to me.
Good, Kevin. Let's start with the game. Big win for the Patriots, and I really, you know, they didn't the offense was not on its game. I think a lot of that had to do with Dallas. Dallas has one of the best defenses in the league. Rob Ryan led defense. We saw what he did to the Patriots last year when he was with the Browns. You know, these Ryan guys, they have a good mind for football. There's no doubt about it. As crazy as they might be,
let's go to eat a goddamn snack.
They know how to coach defense, and Patriots knew that going in. You know, I was doing the blog with over 8,000 people on it, and I kept writing that, look, you know, the Patriots had to look for the short stuff. Forget about looking downfield, holding on to the ball. I know at times Brady had a lot of time, but that was by design by the Cowboys. You know, the Cowboys looked at what the Jets did to the Patriots in the playoffs last year, and that was pretty much, you know, the same game plan that they had on defense, with the exception is they had DeMarcus Ware, which the Jets didn't have. So, you know, you saw a little bit more pressure on Brady, but for the most part, he had time. But, you know, the Cowboys were dropping people in coverage. The short stuff was there. You saw that, you know, whether it was Danny Woodhead late in the game when the Patriots needed to get a first down, or the two tight ends, the short stuff was there. And I thought the only time that the Patriots had problems was when, you know, Brady wanted to, you know, look for something a little deeper. But other than that, you know, I thought it was a good game by the Patriots offense against a really good defense. But of course, the name of the game for on this one was the Patriots defense. They rose up. You know, these guys made fun of me last week because I thought that, you know, Brandon Spikes had a good game, you know, the week before, and they thought, oh, you know, he really didn't do much. Well, I think not only did he have a good game last week, I think he had an even better game this week. You know, whether it was he or what's even Albert Haynesworth on the front line or Vince Wilfork, I think the front seven played really well, had to play well in order to win this game. And I think they really stepped up. Haynesworth, I think, had over 20 snaps. I think you're seeing him improve week by week, you know, not just get acclimated with the defense, but just get a little bit better conditioned, being able to stay in the game for more snaps. And, you know, he didn't have huge numbers, but he got in there. He got to Romo. He moved the pile. And I think that's all positive things for Haynesworth. I think, like I wrote last week, every snap that he takes is an investment to the future for this team. So if he can stay healthy, he is going to be a factor by the end of the season, especially when the weather turns colder and teams have to run. Haynesworth is going to be a factor. I think Vince Wilfork had a great game. I think Andre Carter continues to get better and better as the season goes along. Ellis had a solid game. I think all the guys along the front, Kyle Love, I love this guy. I've loved him since the beginning of the season. He had another good game. So I think things are really looking promising. And, you know, then you add in Spikes, you know, progress. And I'm not saying that the Patriots' defense is there yet. There's still a long way to go. I think Tony Romo, I think he was hampered a little bit. It wasn't really talked about, his injury, but I think that might be a factor in why Dallas didn't really challenge the Patriots deep. You know, you didn't notice him throwing the ball up to Dez Bryant deep. You know, Bryant caught some mid-range passes, certainly, but, you know, they weren't challenging the Patriots deep like I thought they might, and that might be because Romo, you know, was a little bit hurt. And, you know, but take that as it may, Patriots did a pretty good job. I'm not letting, you know, the team off the hook for mistakes that they're still making in the defense, and certainly I don't think they were tested deep, so we don't know if McCourty improved or anything there. But I think it's a step in the right direction, and that's what you're looking for. Every week, get a little bit better. Now they go into the bye. They have a chance to self-scout. I think they're going to, you know, go over these tapes and see where they need to improve. And it's very encouraging for Patriots Nation. Okay, a little bit of news before we have a guest in the studio before we get to him. Eric was just in the locker room. They had open locker room. That's why the guys aren't here. They'll be here in about 5 minutes. But he tweeted out that both Ron Brace and Kevin Faulk are going to practice today. So if that truly is the case and they're not just dressed, that means that the PUP window in the clock starts to tick. The Patriots, if they practice today, will now have 6 weeks from this point to decide whether or not to put them on the 53-man roster. So that's good news for Ron Brace and for Kevin Falk, and we'll see what happens. As I say that, the guys are here. Paul and Eric, Paul and Andy are here. Andy's shaking his head because I called him Eric.
So in the last few days, I've been mistaken for you, or you've been mistaken for me, and
right,
now Eric.
Right.
Tough week.
So before we get to you guys, Paul and Andy just came back from the locker room. We're going to get to that in a second. I just want to introduce Barry Insiong. Barry is the official on-the-road Patriots party coordinator.
Yeah, the organizer of Patriots Tailgate, the club, which is for Pats fans going to any road games. So, yeah, if you're planning to go to any of the remaining road games this year or any future season, we've got a Yahoo group and a Facebook group. So get signed up there, and that way you don't have to go watch the game, you know, with just your small group. You can link up with other Pats fans, maybe get tickets together, tailgate. When we do stuff on the West Coast, when normally we have either myself or one of the other local clubs plan some big things, some parties, you know, group ticket purchases, that kind of stuff. So yeah, it kind of varies from game to game what we do, but, you know, if you're interested in finding other Pats fans on a road, in any road game, we can, yeah, we kind of help facilitate
and
that.
And if you have your own thing you want to organize, it's good to let Barry know anyway, because see, then he can let everybody else know, because the Yahoo Tailgate group has sort of been a place where people check out to see what's going on. You did
exactly
a thing in Oakland.
Right, and we kind of worked together with a couple of Bay Area groups up there. I kind of did most of the coordination of the ticket purchase and the party planning, but the clubs up there, you know, they let all their members know, all the locals there. So, yeah, we had a great turnout and a lot of fun.
Great. And then there's going to be one in Denver, Pat's Pike. What is
it? It's easy
Peak
for you
Pats
to say.
Pike Peak's Pats.
You're right. Oh, yeah, they're looking for it. Pike's Peak
Who?
Pats. That's
okay.
Anstone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're really going to do the big tailgate party on Sunday, and also a Saturday night party. So they've got those plans already in the works.
That'll be in Denver. So that's cool. So thanks for coming by, Barry. Barry's in town because you went to the game on Sunday, and now you're headed up to Montreal for a wedding.
Correct. Yeah.
So
two birds with one stone.
It's cool. It's a nice little vacation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been fun.
All right. So Barry, he'll chime in when he feels the urge. But I want to get to Paul and Andy, who just came back from the locker room. They had a rare Tuesday availability. What's going on in the locker room?
Somewhat quiet. Obviously, the guys that drew the most attention were the PUP.
What's going on?
Kevin Falk talked. Ron Brace spoke for an extended period, because obviously those guys can now potentially begin practicing anytime in the next window here and move forward. And Bill actually teased, I don't know if you heard it or talked about it, that there were some roster moves coming. Some of those will involve guys that we know of. Phillip Adams was in the locker room. Ross Ventrone was in the locker room. Sterling Moore was in the locker room. So some of these guys that have been bouncing between the practice squad roster back, you're going to get some more of those today. But I think you're going to have some roster moves as well. It'll be interesting to see if there's any actual moves.
Well, you know, they released two guys yesterday.
Right, Moore and Ventrone.
And a lot of people said, oh, that's to make room for Falk and Brace. That's not true.
Because, the exact opposite.
Right,
because this, no one likes to use things to his advantage more than Bill Belichick. And because of the window here, he could potentially have extra bodies practicing for a two-week bye. Because he has no game. You don't have to make a change to get a guy active for the game until right before. You know, that's Friday, Saturday, activate him to play in the game. You activate him off PUP to practice, but he doesn't count towards the roster. So they could activate Falk for the practice. He's not using a roster spot, so now you have potentially 62 players practicing with your practice squad and everybody on the roster. So there's no way Bill Belichick would do that. You know, now watch. It'll say Kevin Falk on the active roster.
Yeah, I mean, one of those guys could, you know, be activated. Who knows? I mean, they could use both of those spots. But I'm with Andy. I would be surprised if they did so immediately.
Right, there's no reason to.
No. You have a three-week window, and there's no sense of not taking advantage. I wouldn't be surprised, like Andy said, you know, stagger them out a little bit. You know, get a couple back now, a couple back next week or the week after, and all of a sudden you've gone through the balance of the season with extra players to practice with legally.
Yep.
And that's something that Bill Belichick likes, that flexibility. Yep. You need to rest some guys during the course of the week. You don't have to suffer in preparation because you have extra players there.
And we know they're working guys out continuously. They had him last week where they worked out Pierre Allen and Harrison. They signed Harrison and then cut him a day later. Not sure what that was all about. But there obviously are potential guys out there every week getting cut from other teams. I also wouldn't be surprised if there were one of those conditional pick for some player trades. Not Jared Allen, not any of these DRC big trades we've talked about, but just some developmental outside linebacker or something somewhere that we ship a 7 to if he stays on the roster.
So when you say that you think there could be roster moves, that's what you're alluding to?
Well,
there's going to be roster moves. Bill said that in the press conference.
Well, I mean from the outside.
Oh, I think there will be a signing or a trade, but I think probably a signing. You will see somebody that we don't know of added to the roster.
But nothing big, you don't think?
I think it'll be down near 53.
It might be a guy that maybe when Andy and I were talking over the weekend, Bruce Davis. Do you remember him?
No.
He was a practice squad sort of bottom
Don Davis.
Bottom of the roster outside linebacker guy that was on the team maybe 2 years ago, two summers ago. He flashed some athleticism. He just got cut. He was with Oakland, I think. Last week he got cut. I wouldn't be surprised if a guy like that. I'm not saying Bruce Davis, but a guy that maybe the Patriots have a little knowledge of has fills a need. They're awfully thin at linebacker in general. I mean, it wouldn't be surprising to me to see a guy like that, but not stop the presses kind of stuff.
Or safety, another position there. You know, some guy who's just a a Jarrad Page or Josh Barrett, some name we don't know that has started a couple games. They might think he can play a little bit. That type of move.
Okay, we have a lot to talk about in addition to, the trade deadline, which we just mentioned. But big win against the Cowboys. Nationally, the talk is how the Cowboys blew it, obviously, and how Jason Garrett got too conservative and Jerry Jones criticized him. Now Jerry Jones is apologizing for criticizing him. You know, anyway. But I think here...
He thinks that's getting far too much attention. The owner issued a statement, apologized for it, and now it's getting ripped.
I'm not saying it's getting too much attention. I'm saying that's the focus of the game nationally when you talk about the game. Here, I think, obviously, fans want to focus on the Patriots and not how the Dallas screwed the game up.
Sure.
And the positives. And I think it was a big win.
Yep,
huge.
Great to go into the bye with a win, obviously.
Especially
but
for
also,
the defense.
But also the progress.
Yep.
It baby steps...
Not
but
just
progress.
Not
you're going in the right direction.
Not just for the defense as a whole, but I think progress for a number of players that have been criticized. One guy being Brandon Spikes, I thought had his best game as a Patriot, has been a guy that's, even
built
fans
off
we
the
get,
week before.
Yeah, no, he catapulted off the week before when he did nothing and had a very good game. But even Albert Haynesworth, I thought, showed up for the most part, and Bill deemed it encouraging. I'd love to include Ocho Cinco in this mix, but that isn't the case. But I think some individual guys chipped in more to lend you to believe maybe they will chip in more moving forward.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I'm totally on board with both of those guys. I thought for the first time, really, I saw some contributions from Haynesworth and Spikes. I thought that was the key. But the bigger picture to me was in talking to these guys in the locker room after the game, Andy, I don't know what your feeling was, but just kind of a growing sense of confidence.
Oh, yeah.
They heard it. Listen, they've been hearing the stuff that everybody's been saying and writing. And to call them much maligned, I mean, that's what they are. They've been maligned. And they still, listen, they're still last in the league in yardage. They've moved themselves up a little bit here in points, and that's more important. So they're inching higher in that category. So that's a good sign, a good trend the last two games. But this game,
Bend
to me,
but don't break is coming back.
This game to me was different. That they allowed some yards, but they made big plays in the red zone. And that's one of the things that Andy and I focused on our Take Tuesday. You know, things that fly under the radar. The sack by Andre Carter on one of the goal to goal situations, and then the play by Will Fork and Spikes on the shovel pass on the last goal to goal situation in the fourth quarter. Huge plays. You get two threes there instead of a seven.
Yep.
You know, we're not talking about Tom Brady's last-second drive without those two plays.
The only incomplete, I would say, I think we saw progress in a lot of areas on defense. The incomplete was on long coverage. I think Romo's injury prevented Dallas from testing Patriots deep. You know, until that last throw that he threw up and it went out of bounds, you really didn't see Romo throwing the ball up like other quarterbacks have been doing. And that was one part of the Patriots' defense, I think, that didn't get tested. So we don't know if it made any progress.
I thought the coverage was better.
Well,
I didn't think there was a lot
short
of
short and intermediate routes. It was better, but we don't know about the long routes.
They didn't
routes.
Challenge them deep, but even that other stuff, I thought all year they've struggled coverage front to back. I don't think it's been one thing.
Yep.
And I thought guys were closer. You know, they had a drop, but at least there was a guy close enough. Did you say? Did he get a hand in there? I think earlier in the year, they wouldn't have the guy close enough to question whether he got a hand in there. You'd know by 4 yards it was a flat-out drop. And I think just that guys are a little bit closer,
yeah.
And they all talked about it post-game. You know, the rush was a little bit better. I don't think the rush was great.
I thought
the
rush
coverage
was
a little bit better. I don't think it was great. And the defense was better because those things were slightly better together, complementary.
Well, they played faster. And Belichick said after the game, you know, he was a little concerned with the tackling.
Terrible.
But I think the speed made up for that. You know, Haynesworth would shoot through and miss the tackle, but he got enough that other guys would swarm to the play afterwards.
Those aren't the tackles I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think he's talking about McCourty, who turns a 7 yard
turning
into
7 yard
yards.
Gains into 32 yard gains.
Oh, that stuff. Yeah, that was terrible.
There was more than one of those.
Yeah,
and I mean, anytime a guy shoots through a gap and gets in the backfield and stuff, that's a hard tackle to make.
Part of your job is just making him to make a cut.
Haynesworth getting through there, that's the play. I mean, that stops the running play. Someone else is going to be there, because I mean that's just the way that's the way it goes. But when you're all by yourself outside and you have a guy all wrapped up dead to rights, you have to make that tackle.
No,
because there's not going to be anybody else there to make the play.
But the visual that I had in my mind was the swarming defense that they showed. They showed a lot of speed. They just seemed to be a little bit faster. And even around the line of scrimmage, the first guy didn't always make that tackle, but they just seemed to come in waves.
And that was an emphasis last week that they talked about, getting guys. You know, everybody talks about when you're great on defense, all 11 guys are
swarming to the ball.
They talked about that last week. And for whatever you think of Brandon Spikes, he brings energy to the field. Sometimes it may be misplaced. But I said, you know, I even asked him, you seem like a guy that wants to celebrate every single play you make. And he said, yes, it's about energy. And the defense can thrive on the energy from one guy, and it can be contagious and can spread. And I think he brings that.
Now, the negative part is the turnovers. I mean, you know, even though they had them, they won the game. But, you know, Aaron Hernandez, this is
who
you know,
he is.
It's a little bit more than just, oh, a turnover here and there. It's starting to become, you know, what's that, the third time he's dropped the ball this year?
He's had a drop or two. Now the fumbles happened in the preseason.
Yeah.
So I mean
that's true.
But still, I count those. No, you should. You don't think Bill does?
Yeah.
I mean, ball security I think is a little bit of an issue with him.
Yeah.
He tends to get careless at times with drops on balls that hit him in both hands. And then we've seen him be a little loose with the football at times.
I didn't think overly loose with the ball when the fumble occurred.
Yeah, not in this particular
I've seen
one.
Him be loose with the ball out in front like he's running the option. If he fumbles doing that, to me, that's unacceptable. I thought he fumbled, and clearly he has to work on the security, but I didn't think he was being too loose when he actually fumbled.
I would agree with you on this particular play, but Fred, I also agree with your larger point that it's not like it's the only time he's lost the football.
And Matthew Slater. I mean, come on.
He's the anti-Benny.
Yeah, well, I mean,
fumbles per touch is like a 1-to-1 ratio.
67%.
It's so rare that he gets a chance to make a play. You can't put the ball on the
ground.
And
he was moving, and it just barely.
Yeah, he was up over the 30 when he lost the ball.
Maybe that's one of those you say he's not used to having the ball in his hands. I don't know, but that was a terrible fumble. That was unacceptable.
And, you know, Brady, I'm not so worried about with the interception.
Well, you know what I'm worried about? And we talked about it last year. Every time the ball deflected in the air, it fell to the turf.
Right.
And he ended up with 4 picks.
Law of averages.
It's no longer just falling to the turf. In fact, it seems destined every time to land with an opponent.
Yeah.
And it's just evening itself out.
That's
unfortunate.
Right.
I'm going to surprise you guys and defend my quarterback because that's what I do. I'll tell you what I'm a little concerned about, though, is pressure. Because both of those picks were caused by pressure. Mm-hmm. One was deflected at the line with a guy in his face, and the other one, a guy hit his arm as he threw. And they're getting around him with more frequency than I can remember the last 2 weeks. The Jets and the Cowboys, I thought, had more consistent pressure on the quarterback than I can remember.
But is that
him
just matchup?
Under.
I mean, is that just a 2-week trend against the Ryan brothers and their 3-4 defense and all
and,
that?
And they're good. You know, I don't want to take away the credit from the other team because Dallas is good. I mean, they do a good job of like the Giants did of getting pressure with 4 guys. They don't have to sell out and blitz.
Right.
So I don't want to take their credit away. Just something I'm a little concerned about. I thought up front, in the middle especially, Mankins, Conley, and Waters, I thought, struggled in this game. Now, Light got all the attention because Ware got around him twice for sack. Well, DeMarcus Ware does that to everybody. But I don't like to see Jay Ratliff, you know, getting through. It wasn't even a sack, but he forced Brady to just throw one away right into the ground. Shot right through the middle, right out of a cannon. I don't want to see that ever.
But he's a pretty good nose tackle, and I think we're just seeing against good teams – Dan Conley's Dan Conley. You know, he may be good enough against 80% of the league, but that top 20%, he may struggle. And Brian Waters may just be able to roll into town and be good enough against, again, that 80% of the league. But when you really challenge him, oh, he hasn't been here that long. Something, you know, they've had a lot of changes up front. Even Light. We know Light is what he is. He's here because they were forced into re-signing him, that ideally he may not even be here.
And isn't it a good thing that they did that at this point?
Right.
Can you imagine if they
certainly
had, you know, Vollmer missing all these games, Solder on the left side, and who knows who on the right side? Donald Thomas, maybe?
But
I don't know.
But do you
think
Matt Light's as good as he was 5 years ago?
No.
When we,
no.
At the time, we even said,
he
he's good, not great.
He
struggles with speed rushers. Now I think he's less of a player, so
give him bonus
some of these matchups
Sunday,
are going to be problems.
Yeah,
right.
Give him bonus points for that last drive on Sunday
when
he got hurt on that sneak by Brady, and that's why they called the timeout, actually, is they wanted to give him a little time and give some extra attention to Ware. But, again, just the dichotomy between the coaching decisions. I know you don't want to get into this, Fred.
Well, I do want to talk about coaches in the NFL.
But you could not strategically coach a worse game than Jason Garrett did.
Yeah.
I mean, between timeouts, coming out with the idea of running the football, trying to close the game out by, you know, running the high school wing T and running the football three times into the middle of the line, things Bill Belichick would never do. And conversely, Bill recognizes, you know, a player is dinged up a little bit and doesn't have the proper from the sideline, he's on it immediately. With 27 seconds left in the game, when a lot of guys would be, you know, with the fist pumps and the Pete Carroll high fives, you know, Bill's recognizing the intricacies of a matchup on the edge that he didn't like, and he's calling a timeout, gets that straight, next play, touchdown, you win.
Right.
I mean, the differences between the coaching performance to me has never been greater than it was on Sunday.
And, you know, I do want to give credit, like you did, Paul, to the Dallas defense, because it is legit. It's a really good defense, but I do that just to point out how impressive that last drive was for the Patriots. I mean, the Cowboys defense was giving the Patriots problems.
Yep. And no prevent, by the way.
Yeah.
Prevent. Great throws by Brady into some tight
right.
windows.
None
better than the last
They
one.
Were giving the Patriots problems. They were giving them with pressure, and then sometimes they would drop back. And you saw Brady looking the field like he did in that Jets playoff game last year. We'd have time, but just nowhere to go. But I think on that last drive, I think it was, you know, just perfectly executed by Brady in the offense. You know, you get Danny Woodhead in the middle of the field, give it to him if he's open. You know, everybody came up big, the tight ends, obviously, and it was just a perfect, you know, 4 minute. They had about 2.5 minutes to go.
2:20
with one timeout plus the 2 minute warning, and just handled perfectly, including that last timeout that Paul mentioned. It was just a great game, and I think it's just a great way to go into the bye.
Yeah, no question. And I have to pay my respect to Orlando Scandrick, because I kind of ripped him pregame, because Dallas, we had our Dallas writer on, David Moore, and he said Scandrick's been hurt, but they plan on having him on Wes Welker most of the day. He's their nickel corner, and I kind of poo-pooed it and thought, that's how you lose when you have the best receiver in the NFL right now on your nickel corner, who, by the way, may be rusty and has been banged up. And Scandrick played well. Welker had 6 catches for 45 yards. You know, he had a catch on the final drive, and he was a part of the game.
Three of them did come on the last drive.
I still think you got to give Scandrick, forever in my mind, the old eyeball test. Scandrick's a good slot corner.
But he was getting help. They were banging.
Well, everybody gets help.
They were banging Welker coming off the line, and somebody
right,
else would ship him.
He did something that no one else did. He made Welker look pedestrian.
They have a good defense. All right, Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398 down here in the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios. Let's go to Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian. Oh. I just hit him on hold. Christian!
Hey, gentlemen, what's going on?
What's up?
Nothing much, man. That was a great, great game. The defense finally showed, I think, what we were all waiting to see. You know, the offense didn't have a good day at the office, and the defense had to keep them in the game, and that was impressive. I mean, I as much as Romo throws up on himself and stuff, I mean, that's a good offense with weapons. And, you know, they held them to those two field goals, like Paul said, you know. That's a different – there's no drive at the end of that game if they didn't hold them to field goals.
Football math wins every time, as Bill said post-game.
Yep, there it does. So going into the bye, 5-1, I mean, it's great, you know. This is definitely something for the defense to build on, and you got to have that, you know, come playoff time where the offense isn't going to be able to put up 30 every week, and they got to be able to do it. And Andre Carter impressed me on one of his sacks, actually, too. Was impressed by, I think it was in the third quarter, Haynesworth had a triple team, and Carter came around on the edge and got his second sack. And, I mean, that was, you know, all right, finally some pressure. Finally some, you know, somebody's getting to him. And all this without Mayo, too. Mayo wasn't in the lineup.
That's right.
Yeah, and Guyton didn't play very well. So
no,
if you
no,
could think of it, Mayo would have been in there. Guyton would not have been. You adding Spikes, what he's been the last week in the middle, you can see reasons to have hope moving forward on this defense.
I liked the way they used Spikes, too, you know, because I think he's a liability in pass coverage. Mm-hmm. So Bill just said, you know what, I'm gonna send him.
And that's what he's
done all
year.
I'm going to throw him into the A-gap, and I'm going to send him.
He was more impactful. Earlier in the year, he was doing his James Sanders impression and running into guys and stopping.
You know, because I don't think he's going to offer you a whole lot, you know, dropping into zones and doing, because half the time it seems like Mayo looks at him as if to say, what are you doing? So send him after the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I thought that he caused some problems for Dallas in that regard and forced, I think, you know, even times that he got picked up, I think Romo thought that he was going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
But the interception wasn't really a lot of pressure on him, but I think Romo thought there was. And
he
threw
that.
It far before he needed to. He threw it right to Arrington.
There's no
question.
That's
caused by
he
stuff
perceives
up front.
Pressure when it isn't there, and that's a problem for
yeah,
him.
Yeah, the pressure I thought was better in this game overall by the Patriots.
Yep.
All right, and, Christian.
I had a question for you guys about the secondary. I'm still worried about McCourty, obviously. But on the other side with Arrington, I guess basically he took Barton's job. I mean, is Arrington's the starter now, and Bodden's the third corner?
Bodden seems to be the third corner. He seems to be the rotational guy. If he's still banged up, he's been listed all the time with these various injuries, I don't know.
Yep.
But, yeah, it seems like he's the third guy. And who knows, when Dowling's out there, how that four-man rotation will unfold.
Yeah. Generally, Bodden comes in, he goes to the outside, Arrington goes from outside to inside. That's how they played it on Sunday.
Okay. Well, it's interesting watching that going forward.
All right. Thanks, Christian.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All right. Hey, calling all the way from down under is John in Australia. Hey, John.
Hey, boys of PFW. How are we doing today?
Good night,
Mike.
Doing
great. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing really good. I haven't called in for a little while, actually, and I've been listening to the podcast every time.
Tremendous.
And a few months ago, I heard did you guys remember the PFW draft, the people that the listeners brought up?
Yes.
Yeah, I actually came 32nd. I couldn't believe it, to tell you the truth. I was like, okay, well, I haven't called in or emailed for a while, and I was pretty happy with it, you know. And so I'm considering myself as Logan Mankin.
Yes, you snuck in, and now you can prove yourself.
Yeah, that's it. I saw a stick, you know, number 32. Didn't make his money in the beginning, but now eventually I will. So I hope all is well. Look, guys, I watched the game on the weekend, and one thing that stood out for me was Spike's play. I don't know if you guys spoke about it or not, but I think he played pretty well. What do you guys think?
We all agree he had, Andy thinks, his best game as a Patriot.
I do.
I don't think there's really another one that
game.
Even comes close.
I don't either. I think he was really good, and I think he combined. He's always had the energy, but the energy means more after a real play, not after a tackle 5 or 6 yards downfield. But even the plays you said that he missed, he's in the backfield forcing runners to make cuts. Two guys swarm to the ball. He made a play there. Celebrate. Have fun. Even Bill talked about it in that documentary about having fun. And I don't think they were having fun early in the year. Part of that's because they sucked.
Yep.
But I think it can be contagious. And I like what he brings in terms of that when he makes a play, not when he does it.
I think this is very promising for him, and especially when Mayo comes back.
I think they'll be the 30th ranked defense at that time.
Well, in order to become the 30th ranked defense within that window, they'll have to be in the top 5.
What?
The other thing that I noticed was Haynesworth.
Okay,
had a
let's
good
do
game
it.
Too, no?
Yes, I think he had his best game as a Patriot.
Haynesworth was a factor on some plays on Sunday, and that's I hadn't seen that. I thought that he got through in bothered plays in the backfield that I hadn't seen.
See, these are all the things I have seen coming.
No, you haven't.
So
no, you haven't.
Well, I've been saying it.
Bill, Bill disagrees.
You said you saw them happening, not coming.
I see them all.
Well, Bill disagrees with you.
You wrote that Brandon Spikes and Gary Guyton were great last week.
No, I never
said, weren't.
I never used the word great.
Oh, well, you were very happy.
This is typical Andy. You know, trying to.
I'm sorry. Words have meaning, and when you
but when you don't say the words, they don't have meaning.
When you only write 4 paragraphs in
when
the paper,
when you put words in my mouth, they have no meaning.
And choose to use those 4 paragraphs on Gary Guyton and Brandon Spikes, I assume you think pretty highly of what they did.
They stepped up
this week. They did.
And
well,
last
no, not
week.
Guyton.
And last
Guyton's
week,
terrible this week.
All right, John. What else you got? I don't want to keep you too long because I know this is a toll call.
And there's a kangaroo waiting to use your phone.
Not like last time, Fred, leaving me hanging for about 45 minutes. It's still good this time, you know?
Well, Kevin told me you were drinking Foster, so I didn't think you'd care.
Not a big fan. Last thing I'll leave with this is I think the defense overall, I know that Romo had some dumb plays that he threw that interception to Arrington, whatever, but I think overall, I think they're coming along, like what we said, baby steps, and I think down the line, say week 15, 16, I think this defense will be a much better defense. It won't be the number one defense in the league, but I think there'll be a defense to actually have some respect around the league, you know what I mean? So
absolutely.
Let's hope that comes to fruition.
All right. Well, thanks, John.
They're certainly going to get respect if they continue to improve in the red zone and in making plays. You know, those are the important things. If they can stop people via turnovers and stop them in the red zone, you'll get the respect because the points will be going down, down, down every week.
Isaac is from Spotsylvania, Virginia. He's a first-time live listener. And he
Welcome
says,
aboard, Isaac.
I've been listening for a few years now, but this is one of the first times I've been able to listen live. Just have a few questions. Watching the Dallas game, I couldn't help but be excited by the defense. This makes two straight weeks, three if you count the decent game against McFadden in Oakland, where the D has improved. Andre Carter had a few sacks. Haynesworth seems to actually be there, though some actual stats would be nice. And even Brandon Spikes seemed to make it into the backfield and make a few tackles. Is this a real trend, or is this a little blip on the overall sucky year the D is going to have? Also, do you think the Pats will make any moves at the deadline? Thanks for the great show, and F the Jets. No, I think it is a trend. It's a slow trend, but it's definitely a trend. I think that when Mayo comes back, he's going to come back to a better defense than when he left.
I think I already believe that, yeah, based on the performance this week. I thought the quote that I had in my post-game analysis from Kyle Arrington, when he said they had a meeting back in the summer and said, when they were talking about what they wanted to be, we're going to stick together, we're all we have. I think that was telling that they foresaw there'd be some growing periods, some struggles in the season as they learn this new defense and things of that nature. And I think they were just looking for something to latch on to confidence-wise and building-wise. I think they now have it over the last 2 weeks.
Well, it's also it could be possible that they didn't do a good job of that last year.
Mm-hmm.
When they were under the gun and under attack a little bit, maybe there was a little, you know, behind the scenes finger pointing, you know, the secondary guys saying, hey, you know, we're doing all we can back here. You guys got to get after the passer a little bit. Maybe there was a little of that going on and they wanted to address that before it even started. Mm-hmm. Because there was elements that it was a disjointed defense last year at times.
Sure.
Well, he made a lot of changes. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Chris in Stamford, Connecticut, wants to talk about Ocho Cinco because I figure he'll come up eventually. It scares me how much effort the coaches and players are putting into making it seem like everything's okay. It's as if they don't want to field questions about it, so they all try to paint a happy picture. I'd feel better if someone just said, hey, he's got a lot of work to do still, but we think he can contribute at some point. It's kind of what they are saying. Don't you think? It also bugs me that he's working as hard as he is and still not getting it. In the past 10 years, let's start with Donald Hayes, veteran receivers either pick up this offense in a few weeks or not at all. It's the JG scale. You're either Jabbar Gaffney or Joey Galloway, Chad Jackson or Julian Edelman. If two rookie...
That was the argument I used for you on the point-counterpoint when we did that.
Mm-hmm. If two rookie tight ends can figure it out, why not Ocho? The argument that we had a shortened preseason has lost merit. We're in week 7. Fans want more playing time for Taylor Price because he can catch zero passes just as well as Chad, yet Price might actually benefit from the on-field experience.
I'll tell you what Price is benefiting from. Because Ocho's here for everybody to say he can't learn the offense,
Price
nobody's talking about
bust.
Price not learning the offense. Because that's clearly an issue with him, too, is knowing where he's supposed to be on every single play.
Wondering your thoughts on this. Hard to watch this Sunday, but I won't let it taint a great win for the Pats. And yes, Andy, I just said taint.
You did.
What do you think about that? You know, as far as I'm concerned, Ocho's off my radar. I'm not worried about him like I was in the first few weeks about him getting it.
Is that because you just no longer anticipate him being a part of the offense, you know the offense can succeed without
right,
him?
Right, exactly. I've given up. Okay. You know, if every week was an offensive day like Sunday, I'd be a little concerned. But it isn't. You're not going to play a defense like Dallas or the Jets every week.
But would you be concerned going into the playoffs?
I think by then they'll be fine.
He will be?
No. The offense will be able to deal with the better defenses by then.
Okay.
I do. I think one of the things that they've...
Not unless something changes between now and then.
Oh, yeah. I think the running game is getting better. I think it's creating balance for the offense. I think, you know, the running game again did well when it needed to.
I feel better. I'll feel better about this offense than what last year's was because I think, well, assuming people are healthy and everything, but Hernandez is healthy this year. He wasn't healthy last year. That was evident. And I think both those guys are just better, Hernandez and Gronkowski.
They are without question.
So if I have Welker and Branch and I have Gronkowski and Hernandez healthy, I'll feel better.
Sure.
But not as I'd feel if he were doing a semblance of what he's supposed to be.
And I said this to Freddie after the game. I'll be really, really concerned if they're playing Orion in a playoff game. I'll tell you that.
Well, I would be.
And I know there's only
way.
One way that can happen. You know, obviously Dallas would have to be the Super Bowl, but
with or without Ocho, I mean, they've shown consistently enough that they can give the Patriots problems. That with or without Ocho, I would be worried.
Right.
But don't you think? I mean, it really culminated in the playoffs last year, you know, with the Jets. That was a great game plan by Rex Ryan in how to deal with the Patriots offense. But now that the Patriots have seen that a few times, are you less worried now about the next time they have to play a Ryan defense?
No.
Why?
Because it's working. This 30-point offense isn't.
I mean, we're looking at...
Well, I know, but...
Rob Ryan played him, no 30 points, 30-30-30-30, no 30
but
points.
But the Patriots had 4 turnovers in the game. They usually don't have that.
Except when they play Rob Ryan's team.
No.
I mean, they when you're turning the ball over.
Yeah, and the Cowboys turned it over a couple of times, too, to,
no,
give,
I understand
you,
that.
To give you points.
But I understand it, but I'm talking about, you know, the Patriots turning the ball over 4 times in a game doesn't really happen that
but
much.
But did Brady just make a terrible throw, or was he forced into a tip ball and he was
see,
pressured?
I think the Buffalo game...
It's not just the interception of Brady. It's the Slater fumble. It's the Hernandez fumble.
Well, but the Hernandez fumble was caused by the Cowboys. The
right.
Slater fumble was... I agree with you. That was on Slater. But, like, to me, like, Brady threw 4 picks against Buffalo. I thought one of them may have had something to do with something Buffalo did. I thought they were all in the... And I know Patriots fans make fun of me all the time when I say the Patriots defense doesn't really force a lot of turnovers. They're the beneficiary, you know, they benefit from them. Well, I thought in Buffalo did nothing to force those turnovers. This game, I thought Dallas forced the 3 turnovers on offense with good plays. They got in Brady's face and deflected either his arm or the ball on both picks, and they stripped Hernandez. Those plays can happen when good defense is around. Much like I thought the Patriots' defense made stops in the red zone. It wasn't because Dallas did bad things. The Patriots' defense, Andre Carter blew by Tyron Smith and sacked Tony Romo on 2nd and goal from the 7. That wasn't because Dallas screwed up. That was because Andre Carter made a play. Same with the shovel pass with Vince and Spikes.
Yeah, I mean, I just, even when the Patriots played the Jets of the playoffs, they didn't have 4 turnovers last in that playoff game.
No, but you're thinking about that they didn't score points on Sunday because of turnovers.
I think that's
sort of making yourself feel better. That's not why they didn't score points. They had a punt plenty of times too.
Yeah.
Again, for the 2nd week in a row, to me, it didn't look the same. Now they scored 30 the week before against the Jets. It didn't look the same. It didn't look like it was drawn up.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? You were talking about how Tom was sort of moving around
sure.
a little bit, searching, looking. I didn't think they made some plays on Sunday because they're good. I mean, they're a good offense, and they're going to make their share of plays, but I don't think the offense looked the same this week as it did, say, in Oakland.
Well, I think...
Despite the fact that the turnovers were a problem.
I think the more the Patriots face these Ryan defenses with Belichick and Brady, the better it is for the offense. I think when Brady, with an offense like the Patriots, there's only so many things you can draw up on Sunday, you know.
Yeah, but don't discount the physical, just winning the battle.
And
well,
players,
that's different.
It's players.
You know,
it's not schemes.
No,
it's players.
If Orlando Scandrick takes Wes Welker out,
if
Darrell Revis takes,
I don't think the Jets are as good as they used to be on defense. I don't think
they're not playing as well.
I don't
well.
Think they're going to win as many matchups as they used to win. Now, you know, Dallas and DeMarcus Ware, he's going to win pretty much every time. He's just better. You know, when you get guys like that, they're just better. And so then the Patriots have to adjust to him. And when you adjust to a DeMarcus Ware, you're taken away from something else. But I realize that.
The big picture issue is, theoretically, Ocho Cinco was brought in to win one-on-one battles. The theory was that as good as Branch and Welker are, you can scheme against them because physically they can't beat you. They're not that physically gifted. The theory was if you get a one-on-one matchup with Ocho Cinco, he can win you a battle that makes a difference in the postseason. He's not there, so you're back to theoretically you can be schemed against.
And, Freddie, I don't want to take this too far. I don't want this to be read, oh, the offense needs to step it up. The offense is fine. I love the offense. The offense is going to move the ball and score points. I have a lot of confidence in the offense. I'm just saying down the road, that's why I'm so excited about what happened on Sunday defensively. Because I can't recall the last time the Patriots won a game while scoring 20 points
right,
or fewer.
Right.
Okay? That's the thing that's going to be most exciting because this is how you have to win in the play. You're not going to win 38-35 four times in the playoffs or three times in the playoffs.
Right. You do
it's
need
very, very rare it, to do it that way.
Playoff football is different, no doubt about it. Eric's here, and he's just from practice.
Hey, guys.
What's going on out there? I know you tweeted out that Falk and Brace would practice. Did they indeed practice?
They were suited up along with Brandon Dedrick. So we had three guys who were on lists who are, the clock has now started for them.
Right.
The three-week clock has started. They, as we were leaving, I noticed Brian Hoyer had a blue shirt on, and blue is typically the defensive jersey.
Right.
And then started looking around, and there were some other offensive players who had blue and some defensive players who had white. So we got out to the field. They've split the squad into two. They're doing a scrimmage, blue and white scrimmage, it looks like.
Yeah, I heard Vince complaining about that.
Did you really?
When I walked in the locker room, he goes, "Oh, we got the new shirts."
Yeah,
and he had a white 75 in his locker.
Yeah, so he was on the white squad. No Tom Brady. So your quarterbacks were Hoyer for the blue squad, Mallett for the white.
That's why Vince was mad.
I'm concerned, Freddie.
And
Brady losing practice time, yeah. Real concern.
Really going to hurt him.
But yeah. In all seriousness, before you continue,
sure.
Just on that, because it's
yep.
related to Brady,
mm-hmm.
You guys saw something. Eric, Fred, and Andy, because I can't see that far, so I didn't see it. The work that Brady was having done mm-hmm. during the game on the
yep.
sideline, you guys thought was a little bit more extensive and maybe unusual.
Hadn't seen it during a game before. To that extent, at
so
least.
Maybe there is a little wear and tear there. I'm not saying that he's going to miss any time, but something to
keep
an eye on.
Sometimes, you see it at training camp too. Sometimes he comes out with a huge wrap on
right.
his arm and on his shoulder.
Right.
Well, during the game, he had the wrap all around his elbow area.
And here's why: like when we first saw it, we were like, "Oh, what was that? Is it heat? Is it cold?"
Right.
We didn't know. Here's why. By the end of the game, I wasn't worried because after he threw that touchdown,
and he did the punch.
Like,
right.
He did the punch with his right arm.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That if his elbow was hurting, he wouldn't have done that.
Well, he also could have done it spontaneously, and
yeah,
then
I
maybe
that's ridiculous.
Hurt it a little bit more.
But there was no grimace afterwards or anything like that, and he
but
fired
totally
that ball into
thing,
Hernandez.
Though.
He did. Yeah. He did.
If it's a longevity wear and tear type, I mean,
but I can't recall ever seeing that during a game.
No, I can't either. But I'm not that worried about it either.
No, and it's also a bye week practice, so it's completely within the realm of possibility that he's just getting a day off. I mean, we saw him several times in the locker room today walking around. He didn't have any sort of contraptions or any sort of medical device strapped to his arm.
Right. No, the note of what he was wearing was his Michigan State t-shirt because
yeah.
Brian Hoyer's Michigan State
lost
squad
yep.
beat Michigan, and then Brady put a sweatshirt on, which I tattled on him and told Hoyer, and he goes, "Oh, that's a violation of the wager." Not
well,
happy.
A lot of times, too, they come up with new maintenance procedures at different times in the season. And, the weather's going to start getting a little colder. They've got some outdoor games coming up. And, maybe now they're going to get into, keeping his elbow warm like a pitcher does, between innings. So we'll see if that continues,
mm-hmm.
if they continue doing that.
The next time I'll worry about Tom Brady is when he's not on the field. I'm
right.
not worried at all.
And then four other players were absent today. We didn't have rosters right away, so I'm using a recycled one here, so it was a little scratchy. But Dane Fletcher, Rozai Dowling, Matt Light, who we saw get injured late in the game, and Albert Hainsworth.
Okay.
So a total of five, which for a bye week, that's not too bad, actually. I think there have been other bye week years where there have been almost, at least double-digit players missing from practice.
Especially if they're scrimmaging.
Yeah. So, they even had, like, the big inflatable helmet like they have on game days in the Patriot end zone. They had it on the visitors'
I think Bank of America was here. I think there's some.
It was a tour.
Yeah.
I think there were some big wigs coming through.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe it had
because they were
to
in the
with
locker room and stuff.
All right.
And,
yeah.
But anyway, that's. And all we saw was stretching, no drills or anything like that. But, you
what
know,
about
the big
all
news,
the roster moves? You got anything on that? Any new guys out there you didn't recognize or anything?
No. I think the roster moves, I think, was just that the clock starting for those other players. There weren't any numbers. I mean, it really was hard to tell because. Not only were there, you know, offensive players in blue, defensive players in white, the squad was split up differently than where they normally line up, so it was a little bit more of a challenge and under the time constraints to really notice much of anything.
With the tough media, they switched colors of jerseys and it threw us all a flutter.
And he stands there, not over there.
Right.
Exactly. What's going on?
So the new guys must not be here.
Yeah, it didn't look like there were any new numbers out there, other than the three guys who were coming off the list.
While we're talking about it, who wants to be the person to just lay out what the PUP clock is like right now? Exactly what happens now that Falk and Brace come back on the field?
Right.
What is that? How does that work?
I'll let Eric say it, and then I'll correct his mistakes.
Oh, for the love of God. He's just such an arrogant... Oh, I almost said it.
Oh, that's ironic.
You have...
The jackanape called me a jackanape. Is it jerkanape? Jackanape?
I don't know. Weeks 7, 8, and 9.
Does it know?
Are when players who are on those lists are eligible to begin practicing. At any point in those 3 weeks, you can start practicing. Once they start practicing, the team has 3 weeks from that point to decide what to do with them. Do they activate them? Do they not? Do they put them on injured reserve? Do they just let the clock run out? And if that's the case, they stay on PUP or NFI for the rest of the year. So for those three guys who started practicing today, they have now 3 weeks. As much as 3 weeks. They could do it any time before then, but they have as many as 3 weeks from now to decide what to do with those
guys.
And
as Paul said earlier, there's no reason to hurry right now.
No, and I'm actually a little surprised that they even started the clock this early with some of them, because maybe you give them the extra week because it coincides with the bye week. You give them the extra week maybe to heal up, and then you start the clock next week.
Yep.
And just for precaution's sake, yep. I don't know.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. Let's go to Olivier in Virginia, who's been holding on patiently. Hey, Olivier. Oh, we caught him napping.
Oh, sorry, guys. I just woke up. I've been listening to Eric. Hey, welcome back, Eric. Hey, I have a confession to make, guys. I cheated on you this weekend. I called the post-game show, and I talked to Mr. Jones, and, you know, he called me Olivia. I felt emasculated. I can't imagine why. The first time exactly. I felt like Andy, and I have so much more respect for him now.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyways, Signore Scalavino, piacere.
Grazie.
I think he called you come state?
No, he said signore. That's Italian for mister.
I think you said signora, Spanish for girl.
You don't know
just
anything.
Just to defend Pac-Man Jones, that is always how they spell his name when he calls in. On the call screener, they spell it like it's Olivia.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why that is, but I can see how Pac-Man made that error.
He's probably spelling it phonetically for Pac-Man because he doesn't think he knows how to pronounce
and
it
how
properly.
Would you, and how would you pronounce it if you saw it come up on the call screen phonetically?
Olivia.
Same way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Same way. Absolutely. So, you know, the game on Sunday was a nail-biter. Emotional game. Good game. Good win. But what do you guys think that this win and the performance from the defense is actually helping Belichick do in terms of maybe changes, switches, trades, and stuff like that? Anything status quo, or do you think that they're going to move one way or the other to acquire more personnel?
No, I don't think they'll make any major moves. No. I think the personnel you have is the personnel you're going
That's
to
what we have,
go. I mean, you may add Ron Brace or you may add Brandon Dedrick to the mix, but I don't think any big moves are going to happen. You know, everybody was dreaming about Jared Allen. Keep dreaming.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I don't see any chance of that happening. I think you're going to go. If anything, you'd feel better. I mean, your two of your bigger acquisitions, Andre Carter and Albert Haynesworth, had their best games. So now you feel better about your personnel.
Yeah, they showed up for you, for sure.
Right. So yeah. I think you feel better maybe about the steps you are taking and what you did and the personnel and all that.
What about the term I was reading some articles, and a lot of people say, you know, we always struggle against 3-4 defenses, especially the Ryan Brothers defenses. And, you know, if we cannot you know, handle those guys, there is no way that there is a path for us towards the Super Bowl. And then, you know, we always rely on those short passes to the tight ends, but we're still missing like a deep threat. And of course, I thought that Ocho was the one that would address that part of the puzzle. I mean, who do you think is going to do that now? So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Even with Ocho, I don't know if he had the speed to do that anyway.
Nope.
He was more that guy that the outside threat that they really didn't have. You know, I don't know if eventually Taylor Price is going to get a look in that department. I know Slater, they looked at him early in the season. He caught one.
He played well.
You know, but do you want to depend on Matthew Slater at crunch time?
No.
You know, not at this point.
Do you want to Ocho Cinco at crunch time?
Right. You know, so
or Taylor Price. I'm the biggest Taylor Price fan, but
right. They're still without
Super Bowl on the line. I'm not feeling great.
They're still without that guy that can take the top off.
I agree.
A defense. But you know what?
Wes Welker can.
But I'll tell you something. And you guys are going to laugh at me.
Yep.
But
it wasn't that funny, Olivier.
That was good.
Thanks for the call, Olivier.
Over the mad.
What? Oh no.
That wow.
Was, what?
No, somebody took his ball and went home. You never laugh at Fred Kirsch.
That was the end of the call, wasn't it?
Yeah, because you decided it was the end of the call.
No, but over the last 2 weeks, I've warmed up to the idea of Randy Moss coming back on this team.
Oh, Fred.
I haven't.
I have warmed up to it, and here's my reasoning. I really feel that...
You hit your head.
I'm not going to laugh at you. I'm just shaking my head in disgust.
It's come to
the
point
now... It's
not
even funny. It's sad.
It's come to the point now where... You know he's not going to come here with any type of expectation of I'm the man or anything like that. I think at this point,
like hell,
you know,
he's not.
He's the same guy.
He is the same exact guy.
Well, I don't know. You know, with 10 games left in the season, if he'd be like that, and the prospect of maybe winning a Super Bowl, if he would be like that.
How about the fact that he can't take the top off of defense anymore?
Well, no, I think he could.
I think he probably could.
We saw that already.
I think at times he could. And I think. Don't you think that if he stepped on this field next week, he'd have more production than Chad Ochocinco?
Yes, because he knows the offense.
So
he's
I'm talking about
player.
Swapping one for one without
plays.
The baggage.
So Moss is going to be happy with 6 plays a game, right?
I think he would at this point.
7.
I don't.
He had seven snaps.
I think.
According to Mike Reese.
I think he'd be happy with 2 or 3 catches
for
a
week.
Game.
For a week.
Now
he's the same guy. They don't change.
Yeah, I think.
All right.
There's no contract to worry about. There's no extension that no one's talking to me about. Just come on and play for a season.
They're all the same. And this is the one area where I think Chris Carter is a tremendous NFL analyst. He calls wide receivers what they are. All they care about is their own catches and their own money. And whether it's Derek Mason in New York, he thinks he's a 90-catch guy. He thinks he's still Derek Mason, who's the first guy that Steve McNair's looking to. It's different. It changes, and they can't accept it. It's wired in their heads and their hearts and everything they are.
I agree with you. And I think if you kept him more than this year, it would happen. But I think... with this year, we could get him back on, and I think he'd be all right.
I want to address this.
All right.
The psychosis?
Yeah, because he really is. He doesn't even know it. 15 minutes ago, you just talked to me about how you're not concerned moving forward playing against Rex Ryan's defense because they'll have seen it, and they're adjusting, and you're not worried about the playoffs. And then you advocate bringing back Randy Moss.
I'm always looking to improve my team.
Do you improve your team by doing that?
I think we do.
I'm not sure you do. You could have had that last year. You improved your team by taking him off last
year.
It
was a whole different emotional, psychological.
See, this is the mistake.
Right
this is the mistake that people are making. It wasn't 100% emotional. He was not playing well. There is no way
you don't think that
Bill would have gotten rid of him if he was bitching but playing
to do
well.
With that?
I'm telling you, he would not have gotten rid of him if he was bitching and playing well. He got rid of him because he was bitching and not playing well.
And I think his bitching affected his play. I agree. I think he wasn't playing well, but I think
he's always bitching.
I think he still had the potential to play well. I think he does.
But why didn't he play well anywhere else?
And I think it was just bad situations.
Why?
I think if he came in here, he would be, on day one, more productive than Ochocinco has been. And that's a step up. And if he can do it without the bitching, I say let's do it. I say let's do it.
I personally think that's insane. But I think he would be better than Ocho only because he knows the offense.
It's not the first time I've been called insane, but that's all right. I'll take
it. I think to disrupt the apple cart right now with that guy is insane. I do. I don't think that the you talk about I've been critical of Ocho and Haynesworth about their upsides, and especially Haynesworth. You're going to weigh the upside of this guy can be a little bit more effective than Chad Ochocinco, and the downside could be that he destroys the morale in your locker room?
And do you cut Ochocinco?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you'd have to cut Ochocinco.
So if we're to believe everything that they're telling us about how hard Ochocinco's working and about how well he's playing in practice and how great his frame of mind has been, then we're going to cut the guy.
Hey, all that could be true, but he's not producing.
So, that's a great message to send. You know, keep working hard. Do everything you can do to do exactly what we're asking you to do in this offense, which is what they're telling us, right? They're telling us that he's doing everything we're asking him to do. See ya. We're going to bring in this guy who already has proven to not do the things that we asked him to do just last year.
I'm sure,
just 1 year ago right now.
I'm sure there's a lot of guys on this team on offense who have done everything they asked him to do, but they just didn't work out. We got to let you go.
In favor of a guy who didn't do the things you wanted him to do?
Well,
so you're missing. It's not just letting Ocho. If they decided,
I see what you're saying.
If they decided to let Ochocinco go because of performance, I wouldn't criticize them for that. But to do it in favor of a guy that you let go because he wasn't on board, I think some players would have a problem with that.
That's a fair point. But I still say it improves your team. And I think that all that stuff from last year, I think it's gone with him. I think he, this is it. This is it for him. This could be it. I mean, he hasn't really filed his retirement papers, has he? He hasn't made any announcement. So he's, I think there's a reason why he hasn't done that.
Well, he did make an announcement.
No. He never did.
His agent
said he's retired.
Yeah, but he
but
never.
He, I don't think he officially.
I don't care about papers. Papers don't mean anything. He officially announced his retirement.
No, he did not.
What am I thinking of?
You're thinking of his agent. Mentioned
who speaks for him?
But he did not. He never came out and said, I retired.
No, I think he's.
The agent did not officially say that Randy
the
Moss has retired.
Yeah. The agent said it. Fred's point is the player didn't say it.
He said he's going to retire.
Are you telling me the agent announced something on behalf of his client that the client didn't endorse?
He didn't announce it. He said he's going to retire, but
he
didn't do it.
He has retired, I believe he wrote.
No, he hasn't retired. He has not retired.
No. You're talking about filing papers.
I'm tired of this conversation.
It's not really that important. It's not.
And as a matter of fact,
reword we should be using for this conversation,
fact,
but it's not.
As a matter of fact, when they brought it up to Bill Belichick, when they brought it up to Bill Belichick, Belichick said, "The player hasn't said that, has he?" And the answer was no.
No, I think what Belichick said is, "I think that we'll see Randy Moss play football again." I think is what Bill said.
And he also said, "The player hasn't said that." I didn't hear Randy say that.
Yeah,
that's
he,
what,
did say
he did say
something
did say
to that,
that
effect, too. You're right.
Because he knew. He hasn't retired. And I'm telling you, don't rule it out, folks. You can criticize
it. I hope it happens.
Why?
I'm all for another circus. It's great for us. I hope it happens.
I don't think it would be a circus.
What? Oh, my God. How could it not be?
I don't think it
would be. It may work, and he may help them win, but it'll be a circus.
It would be a
well, people talking about it, but I don't think Moss will come out and start talking to the media all of a sudden. He didn't when he was here.
Except every game, and every time he had something to say, hey, guys, get over here, I got something to say.
That's not going to happen. I'm telling you, it wouldn't happen.
Great cash, homie.
He even asked all the questions. Remember?
It wouldn't yeah.
So after 34 years, he's just going to become a different human being overnight. Flick the switch.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't rule it out.
Okay, that dumb smirk on your face. Have you heard something?
No.
Did a little birdie tell you
no.
I wouldn't rule out?
Nope. Toussaint writes into Web Radio. He says,
Toussaint.
It was Toussaint.
He wants to put in his Toussaint.
It was good having you back, Eric.
It is.
It was another good win on Sunday. We made some mistakes with lousy turnovers, but the defense, yeah, I said the defense kept us in it. Fred, I have to give you props as you called it saying Brandon Spikes was getting better and he was huge in this game. I know Paul and Andy probably still think he's a Jag, but I think when Mayo comes back, Spikes should take Guyton's spot. What do you think? Oh, no doubt about it. There's no doubt that Guyton is miscast as an every down player. So, he should not be out there on every down. you know, he's out there because he has to be.
So now where does the fact that Andy and I said that Brandon Spikes played his best game as a Patriot factor into the criticism that we're getting?
Because there's no way he could have just all of a sudden been so good
That's not what I said. Answer my question. My question is, we're getting criticized for not giving Spikes his due when we both said he played his best game as a Patriot.
You gave him due this week.
And that's what we're commenting on, is this week.
You certainly did.
I can't comment on what he didn't do last week.
Oh, my goodness.
Ask Bill. Bill said it, not me. I'm going off of what the head coach said.
It's a good thing I have listeners here to back me up and remember what I actually said.
It's a good thing I have the head coach to back us up.
I know. He said Spikes has not been playing well.
Not in so many words, but if you want me to read the quote back to you, I can.
Jeff is in Vegas. What's going on?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hey, Mr. Under.
Hey, guys. Yeah, Mr. Under, indeed, Andy. That was a sweet one. It was interesting because I was in the sports book I was in. The guy in front of me had like two dimes on the over, so I felt sort of bad for him.
This is the guy with the 9 points?
This is our Vegas guy. Oh, yeah, from 2 weeks ago where he hit the perfect number.
How much coin did you win there, Jeff?
We don't ever tell those lies.
Well, Eric, it's funny you should ask that, Eric. I middled it last week. This week, a narrow win for the Patriots was not necessarily what I was looking for.
That's why you don't get involved in that stuff.
And I sort of qualified it by saying I didn't really feel that comfortable being in agreement with Paul. Interesting game, though. Could have gone either way in this situation, just having the Patriots get that
the
win
game.
Sort of transcends all of that stuff. And
right.
They could have won by. They could have blown them out, or Dallas could have very easily won. But I think Fred was talking about my buying lunch or something like that. Does that remember last week?
We got you penciled in for Thursday.
Yeah, Andy, funny you should mention that, because I did proactively, even out here in Vegas, we get the word that one of your staff there reports to work at like 4:30 a.m. Every morning, and I tweeted that particular staff member about buying lunch, never got a response, so I went and took my winnings, because I had all sorts of money to burn, and did all my Christmas shopping at the Patriots Pro Shop, because I never heard back from Kevin Collins.
Wow.
And he's just standing there smiling, shaking his head, stuffing his face with cookies right now.
It's not his fault. He's one of the dumbest human beings ever born.
Uh-oh.
Right, so maybe future week, definitely. And if Barry is still there, I just want to give him a little shout-out. We really respect and admire what he does in Vegas. And we're wondering if you had a Twitter handle. I got a ton of Vegas people that travel, and I was just wondering if Barry's on Twitter.
Not actively, but Facebook is a good place to find us, and that's probably the most interactive location for discussing the road game. So it's called Patriots Tailgate. Find us on Facebook, but more importantly, when it comes down to like the actual details of, you know, purchasing tickets and the tailgate location, schedule, the parties, all of that, you also want to be on the Yahoo group. So either way, that's, you know, because a lot of times we're trying, you know, we might be collecting money in advance. So it's not just a matter of announcements of, you know, meet us in parking lot 6 or something. A lot of times there's more detailed planning going on, so that's why we use the Yahoo group.
Yeah, and as I said, Barry, we really, really appreciate what we do. And one, I think I sort of, Vegas is sort of down on Kevin Collins right now, but we got to give some props to Andy Hart.
Yeah.
Not only for tweeting back and forth with me before the game about the under, but also that feature he wrote, I think his KISS formula, red zone turnovers, third down efficiency, was what decided that game on Sunday.
Well, you know, it wasn't exactly groundbreaking. Those are the simple statistics, and that's why I said that. But, you know, I think that's what matters in these games against two pretty good teams. The numbers are going to, those important numbers are going to matter more than they do against, you know, if you play the Dolphins, you can lose the turnover battle, lose whatever, and still beat them. You can't do that against a decent football team.
Exactly. And as Fred will know, on curse words, it's like the Patriot fans, as much as we love and adore them, they give up on the team so fast.
Like tell me about it.
After the Brady pick, I mean, they've just completely given up, and that's why, even though it didn't hit, having that Dallas Cowboy money line plus 260 insurance policy is worth every penny.
Yeah, if you have those pennies to, you know, buy it.
All right,
exactly,
Jeff.
Exactly, fellas. So, if Kevin replies to my next tweet, put me down for lunch. Not this week. I got to punish him a little. Maybe next week.
All right, Jeff. Thanks. That's Jeff from Vegas.
I like how he talks. Yeah. I got to punish him a little.
He talks like he's doing a TV.
Yes, he does.
You know?
Like this is real radio.
Yeah, wow. He sounds like one of those fantasy football guys.
That was a shot at us.
I'm not sure I like your tone.
Murray is in Halifax, Nova Scotia. He says, hey, guys, I don't know if you had the Fox broadcast on in the luxury box you all watch the games in, But I noticed that it was a lot easier to hear the QB cadence than it normally is, especially for Brady because of it being a home game with little crowd noise. Also on offense.
I know, but
I'm concerned about this because of what Ray Lewis said about using TV audio to study Brady's cadence after the Patriots wildcard game in 09. I've included MP3 examples that he does. I'm wondering if you guys notice it or have heard anything from the Pats about it. And if you haven't, could you let them know? Keep up the great. Well, they are enhancing the microphones now. They have a microphone either in the center or the two guards.
Right.
So, and like the call, the emailer said, you're going to hear the home team's quarterback a lot better than, you know, the road quarterback.
And in terms of the Fox CBS thing, I don't know if they have different styles.
Right.
You know, that's a choice of the broadcast, how high they put the ambient sound versus the announcer.
I would like to poll our listeners at some point. Of ESPN, NBC, CBS, or Fox, who do you think does the best broadcast? Like, who does it best?
What do you think?
I'm going to answer in a second. Take sound, the camera work, going to replays, the announcing overall. I think you got to split it up. I think Fox might do the best sound.
I'd say Fox also has the best video. I think their HD quality is better than CBS. And
see, I like ESPN's HD. I always think that my Fox one doesn't look as good.
Really?
But it might be a local thing.
I guess I'm comparing primarily Fox to CBS, but yeah, ESPN's HD.
I like ESPN's.
I like nothing about Fox. That would be fourth to me.
I like the
I hate everything
when
about
he jumps up and down and flexes.
Well, that's ridiculous.
I think aside from
you know he has a name. What was it, Paul?
Oh,
Cletus.
Yeah, that's
like
right.
Him.
Cletus.
Yeah.
They have the little action figure for sale too.
You can buy it on any team.
It's expensive.
But if anyone watched the Monday night game last night, what was going on with the camera work there? It was ridiculous. Guys zooming in and out and missing plays and shooting people's feet.
I know. I was playing.
It was
games
like
with
amateur
friends.
Night on ESPN.
I was watching the end of a college game. It was a rerun, but it was like I just happened to click it on, and it was the last play. And it caught my eye because it was at San Jose State. Remember we practiced there that year? It was Hawaii and San Jose State.
The Argyle end zone?
And the game-winning touchdown, San Jose State gave up a field goal to go behind, and they had to like rush down the field. And they had the last play, it's like from the 34-yard line, guy throws a pass over the middle, and he splits two defenders, and he goes. He takes it for a touchdown. They win. The camera work, this is the live shot now, not the replay. They show the quarterback, and there's a guy rushing up the middle. He kind of backpedals. He throws it. They never go off the quarterback to the ball. They just show the quarterback, and he kind of like he's jumping because he sees what's happening. And now the crowd's going crazy. Still don't see it. We don't pick up the ball carrier until he goes tumbling into the end zone. It was a 34-yard play.
Wow.
They never, ever showed the ball. I never saw anything like it in my life.
I was watching that same game because
did you see
I'm
the last play?
Alum, but yeah, that was terrible. Like you knew exactly what happened because
I could hear the crowd. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that was terrible for an ESPN broadcast to do
probably
something
wasn't
like
their
that.
A crew.
Well, what happens is right,
oh, no.
They use local
this was,
people.
This was like a Friday night game.
Right.
Oh, I think that game was live Friday night?
Yeah.
A Friday night game is probably even worse because some people that are good maybe split some of the Thursday night games and then do a weekend game. Friday, I got to think that's a different dynamic, maybe you get.
I've never seen anything like it.
The bottom of the barrel.
Let's go. Over
Which one do you like?
I think Fox has the best sound. I think the camera work CBS does. And I like the overall production of NBC.
I like the NBC when they show the replays. The NBC it.
Yeah.
Some of those close up things, but
where they pull the.
Yeah, the overall package. I like CBS.
And I think Chris Collinsworth is the best color guy.
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Really?
I think he's the best.
Yeah.
I don't really think there's a guy that can hold a candle to him.
I don't know if
really,
he has better
really
spotters
good.
Or people telling him stuff in his
no,
ear.
No, I think he's good.
But he picks
there's a lot
up
of
on key things.
There's a lot of times he's
quickly.
On it before they even show the replay.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
He's really good.
I think he's the but he has
Fox
grating,
has the worst
he's
announcers.
He's very grating to listen to. I understand that, but listen to what he's saying, and he's on point. He's really good.
I like him because he'll criticize.
Yeah.
He'll go
back,
he's not afraid to say something that's not popular. Too many of those guys, especially the former players, the color guys,
right.
They're just afraid.
Yeah.
That everybody's great. You know, Phil Simms, I love Phil Simms, but everybody's great to Phil Simms. I don't want to hear that all the time.
He's really vanilla, I think, Phil Simms. I mean, he's okay. He's competent. He does a good job, but he doesn't stand out and give you that edge that Collingsworth, you know, the
and
extra
I think
stuff.
Aikman and Sims are very similar. I don't think they offer you a whole lot.
I agree.
But I think they're good, but yet they're good when the teams are playing well. When a team's playing badly, it's like, I don't really know what to do here.
Is there anyone else then you think should be promoted to that spot?
I would have to listen to more. The only guys that you ever get to hear are the top guys because that's the playoff games. So I don't really get to hear the Solomon Wilcox of the world.
When he first started doing it, I thought Rich Gannon had potential. I haven't heard enough of him since then, though.
And I wasn't overly impressed with the Buffalo game.
Yeah.
Brady pitching a 10 back there.
Remember you and I were talking
about
Mayock
doing it now?
He's done
Mayock
college.
Does the Notre Dame games.
Yeah.
He might be doing
the
NFL Network Thursday night
probably.
Games.
Yeah. I thought I heard him on NFL Network doing something.
His too much like a scout.
Yes.
It's all scouting.
I was just going to say
it's all scouting.
Because that's his thing, though.
I think he's good at it.
I think he's going to evolve, and I think if he gets comfortable doing the color commentary aspect of it, he'll become one of the
best. He'll break down a play, Andy, and he'll say he'll talk about how the cornerback turned his hips and his technique.
Hmm.
He's right. I mean, I think his scouting eye is a good one.
Right.
But I don't necessarily think it's what you're looking for.
We don't
want color.
The mechanics. We want
the
X to the nose.
Yeah.
Know? Anthony is pissed off at me. Anthony in Naples on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, Fred. I expected more from you.
Okay. What, are you mad about Randy Moss?
Well, are the ratings down?
Oh, you think that's a ratings ploy? Please.
Well, yeah, that's stuff like Gasper and Bertrand do on a Saturday. You know, like, oh, let's talk about Randy Moss. What do you think about him coming back? And all of a sudden, you know, the phone's lit up on a Saturday. Come on.
No, I have to be honest. I was thinking of this at least for a week that, you know what? This might happen.
Let me ask you this. Let's go through the motions, Fred, me and you. All right. What made Randy Moss Randy Moss?
His personality.
I'm talking about his great gameplay.
Oh.
What made Randy Moss Randy Moss?
He's out of this world talented. He's an amazing.
But what were those talents?
Speed,
Fred?
And jumping ability.
Exactly.
Hand-eye coordination, route running, knowledge.
Okay,
he's a smart football player.
But Fred, the speed and eye coordination is fantastic, but it doesn't mean anything if you can't run anymore and you can't jump. Those first two things he cannot do anymore.
I haven't. Maybe not to the level he used to do it, but I think he can. I think he can do it at an NFL level, and I think his brains make up for that. Are you all right?
He is what he is, Fred. You know what, though? He gets pushed. He gets punched a little bit. You get physical with him. Guess what? He's out of the game. He's useless. He doesn't do it anymore. He was a phenomenal athlete, okay? He's tall, lanky, and he had jumping ability. You know what? It would be one thing if he had, like, 30 more pounds on him, like a Plexico, all right? So at least he could get physical in there and probably still be able to grab the ball. But he can't do that anymore. He's not the same guy. Stop living in the past.
Wow. Wow.
Chastising you. I agree with him 100%.
Is he better than Chad Ochocinco?
Deservedly so.
You know what, though? Chad can at least work the middle. He doesn't have it
yet. He's done it
a lot here.
How many catches did Moss have with the Patriots last year? I want to say 9.
Yeah, it's right around 10.
You're looking at a very, very marginal bump if you make that move.
Yeah,
Anthony is 1,000...
Did you just hang up on him?
This is the new show now. If you
he happened to go against the czar that is Fred Kirsch, and you
Fred,
just hang up?
You just get bombed.
I was hearing static.
You get bombed.
So you put him on hold then, maybe.
Anthony,
well,
nice
call
job.
Back. Call back if you want.
Nice job,
Anthony.
You didn't
hear that static?
Unbelievable.
Even Barry's disgusted.
I have no problem with him.
Isn't this show for the fans, about the fans, with the fans?
I'm not upset.
We even have some fans here today.
Right.
When do you just hang up on fans?
If the question is, does
better watch out, you're going to get hung up on.
The question is it the same Randy Moss that is going to put him in the Hall of Fame? No, but I think that with his knowledge of Tom Brady and the way they can work together, if he comes in with the right mindset, he can contribute.
But you're talking about all this,
and
like,
I still think he has enough speed to get past defenders.
Well, why didn't he last year?
Because what you said, his emotions were affecting his play.
I disagree. I didn't say that. You said it.
Careful. He's going to turn your mic off and shut you off.
I said if he was playing well and being bitchy, they would have kept him. But he was playing poorly and being bitchy, so they got rid of him. You said playing poorly because he was being
bitchy. I think the bitchy affected his play.
I think he's completely done. You talk about the route running ability and all that. That was all true. He's not interested in running over the middle. He's not interested in doing that. Andy's 1,000% right. Why do you think at this age he will all of a sudden morph into this ultimate team guy when he's never been that?
Gene in Daytona says, Fred, are you crazy? Why would we want to go through that horror show again? Do you think Tom needs another kid to watch over? Please, Fred, you're doing you are doing to us fans what Randy did after the Cincinnati game at the pulpit. Do not bring up Randy Moss. That's how rumors start, so drop it and listen to Paul and the guys next to you. Let's see. Josh writes in, is Anthony in Naples a plant by Fred today to try to get Moss pissed off and draw him out of retirement? Maybe.
Oh, he's a realist.
No, he's not in retirement, so he doesn't have to get drawn out of it.
Sean in Vancouver says, I can see Randy Moss coming back and being the perfect citizen. He might not say anything negative, ask for the ball, or whine one bit. The reason I wouldn't want him is because Tom Brady respects and loves him too much. I can see Brady going deep too often to Moss for incompletions that ruin drives or, worse, result in a costly turnover. Just look at the loss last season in New Jersey. I love Randy Moss, and I hope he makes it to the Hall of Fame, but he lost a bit of a step, and that's enough to end his career. I don't think the Patriots should make any changes on offense, and I would be surprised if they do on defense. The team will improve every week with what it has.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree totally with the offense. If they could improve the defense, I'd be all in favor of that. But I agree with the offense. There's no moves to be made that are going to markedly make you any better.
Sandeep writes in from Herndon, Virginia. Please stop, Fred. Randy Moss is a mirage. Listen to Paul. Could we stop with the Brandon Spikes is awesome stuff, too? Paul and Andy are right again. Spikes is horrible in pass coverage.
This is like a bizarro PFW in progress.
I was actually glad they blitz Spikes instead of just having him stand in the middle like a statue, or worse, bump into his own teammates when defending the pass. Andy, a personal thanks. I followed your advice to take care of a certain itch situation. Fix the problem in about a week.
They have lotion for that stuff, you know.
You're giving itch advice now?
I don't know. I feel like a deer in headlights. I don't know what we're talking about.
Maybe that was me.
Not the first time.
With the laundry soap. I gave you advice to use laundry.
Well, we all know that people confuse Fred and Andy, so.
Shut up. And Fred, what did he say? The man. Paul's referring to a bartender in the club.
I was walking through the Patriots, the Putnam Club here at the stadium on Sunday, and somebody said, hey, Andy. And I looked around, and it was a bartender, and he was yelling at me. You know, and I turned and go, I'm not Andy, I'm Fred. He goes, oh, sorry about that. He goes, at least I didn't call you Paul.
he thought you were Fred.
I do have to, one confession. You know, I like to be out there. I'm going gray. They're starting to come in fast and furious around the sides, and kind of like you probably.
Your legs are getting skinnier too every day, bud.
Well, that's a separate issue. I could do something about that if I wanted. If I wanted to squat, I would just squat. I don't squat.
You do to pee.
You squawk.
Oh. Okay. Thanks, Eric.
I just shut off my.
Are we not taking breaks anymore?
You know what? We should do that.
Have you not taken one at all?
No.
In the show?
I just closed out the email anyway. So
it's a good time to take a break.
So let me get that back. And while we're doing it, Kevin will take a break. And then we have tons of emails. We'll get right to them.
If you didn't know, AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Whoa, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Love
this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
We all know that Andy is the bully of PFW in progress. He can dish it out, but can he take it?
Trying to read the email. Guy's pulling an all-nighter so that he can email during the show, and Andy's disrespectful.
No, that's not my fault. It's
That's your fault.
You're the one who picks and chooses the emails.
That's your fault.
Shut up.
Typical big head. He's never wrong, and nothing's ever his fault.
You're the one who chooses the emails.
That's not my fault. It's not my fault that I'm still talking while you're talking.
Don't have a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
Leave it to Fred to put Andy in his place.
When someone's talking, you have to shut up.
Now, back to PFW in progress.
He's going to kill him.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address.
That's one of my favorites.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Jim in Walpole writes in, what was the reason that the Pats let Rob Ryan leave the organization? Was it before the emergence of Rex and no one thought of the Ryan brothers as a hot commodity? Did he not see eye to eye with Belichick in his system? Think about what our defense would be if we had some Ryan mojo on it, and how great the Ryan versus Ryan Jets game would be.
Didn't he get the coordinator job in Oakland?
Yes. That was the year Oakland offered Eric Mangini the defensive coordinator position. Mangini turned it down. And in typical Oakland fashion, they just said, okay, we'll just take the next guy on the list. Well, how about Rob Ryan? Can we talk? And Ryan ended up taking it. I don't think that the Patriots were necessarily really in a position where they could stop him, but I have no idea if Bill thought of that as a significant loss, was really upset about. I have no idea. Yeah. Do you guys?
No.
Not at the time, but I think the guy's emerged. It is fascinating to think about what it would be like to have him as a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, and who knows what he would have ascended to.
You know, and look what they had to do since then. You know, they went through Dean Pease. They brought in, what's his name, as an advisor for a year.
Tom Cape.
He was a position
coach.
That was 08.
He was
essentially
doing more
running
than
the
that,
defense.
He was doing less than that, actually. I think he was doing nothing. That's why he left.
Yeah, he didn't have any power.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
I think there might be something to the fact that he was brought in as an insurance policy. That was 08 coming off of the thing that we don't talk about in 07. And I think that just in case there was some further discipline down the road, I think they wanted to be covered.
That's true. That's true.
But that didn't work out.
Sergeant Michael Conroy writes in. He says, how's it going? After listening to the post-game show, it blows my mind how people write in and say that the NFL has Belichick's scheme, and because we only scored 20 points, we don't have talent. What's wrong with people? A hard game, and we come out with a win. When will people be satisfied? The Pats did really well. Defense stepped up. Spikes, Carter, people should be writing in happy and celebrating. Instead, they're continuing to complain. Don't be dumb. Go Pats. I didn't hear the post-game show. So
I didn't either, but I agree with the emailer. I don't know what the word is. That was a great win, but I don't know. That, to me, was one of the more encouraging wins they've had in a long time, because I think they more resembled the championship teams on Sunday than I think they have in a long time.
Going back
to 07.
That was a playoff-type win.
I saw Brian Orr.
With turnovers, swings of momentum, bad plays, good plays, win at the end.
I always joke with Andy, you know, anybody can win when they play really, really well. You know what I mean? And I know it sounds stupid, but when you go out there and you do everything right, it's easy. It's when things aren't good. When you turn the ball over four times and you find a way to win doing things that you don't normally do, that to me is far more impressive. I got more positive out of this game on Sunday than I have probably out of any of the previous four wins this year.
More so that the defense was able to hold an opposing offense that's probably one of the more talented ones they'll face this year to under 20 points.
In a lot of bad spots, too.
Yeah.
It wasn't just that, they allowed 80-yard drives and got tough in the red zone. I mean,
they took over on the
23, went 7 yards backwards to kick a field goal. Mm-hmm. They took over on the 32, the next possession, and forced a fumble to allow no points. I mean, that's great defense.
33% third down conversion. 33%
It was another good day on third down. The red zone, I would say, well, that's more Dallas, because that's what they do.
No, but
they were 6-18 coming into the season or something like that on red zone. So that's what. That's more about Dallas.
No, I know, but you have to look at the numbers.
Those positions that they came in to allow 16 points, that's a great, great defensive game.
Freddie.
How's that gas face?
I saw Brian Morey the other day. And
I'm sorry.
He said...
He's probably one that didn't like the win.
That's my kind of football game. That's my kind of win. I go, four turnovers? I had to give it to him.
Yeah. I wouldn't exactly... Just because I was excited about the way they won doesn't mean I want to turn the ball over four times every week and commit whatever, seven penalties?
Yeah. Six.
Six penalties. Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Freddie, I'm developing a power ranking for our website.
Okay.
NFL power rankings. I haven't yet finished exactly what it's going to be, but in the coming weeks, we will be doing a weekly power ranking on the blog.
Okay, I think.
And I have a very...
As stupid as they are, I think we should.
Oh, no. Well, mine will not be stupid.
This isn't going to be stupid.
Mine will be
statistically
based... And I brought in...
Grandpa over there.
Will you just listen? Sometimes the show's trying to be serious.
So, yeah, when you want
to
be serious.
You got to know when it's time to be serious and when to BS around.
The answer to that question is when Andy's talking.
Right.
Jaws.
I brought in a very, very influential consultant who's working with me to come up with the formula.
Oh, yeah?
I can't tell you who it is. I was sworn to secrecy.
Because much like in opinions on other things... We don't just pull them out of our butts. Sometimes we talk to people.
And I talk
I think I might know who you're talking about.
No, you don't.
A member of the organization?
If you could pick any consultant in the
high
world...
High-ranking member of the organization.
This would be the guy you'd consult.
Oh. That works here?
I don't want to go any further.
I know who you're talking about.
My conversations between him and myself, I'll remain personal between two people.
All right. Okay.
But look for that in the coming weeks. It started with my own idea, and I've used my consultant to tweak it a little bit to, what he believes might be a little bit more telling. Rather than, Paul, Andy, and Eric just sitting down, hey, who you got one this week? Packers? Okay, me too. Who you got two? Ravens, Patriots? Let's go Ravens for this week. There's going to be some numbers here. This is what Bert Breer tried to do a few years ago when he had his Jim Tressel formula that fell on its face and he dropped
It's because he exceeded the salary cap.
Wow.
Janice writes in. She says, Fred, you are right. The others are wrong. That guy that called in and said Randy can't jump or run like he did before was very annoying to listen to, especially with the static. Let's think about what Brady recently commented about Moss. Tom said he would welcome back Moss with open arms. If Tom thought Randy had lost it, and would not be an asset to the team, then Tom would not have made that comment. Tom is not going to want Randy back on the team just because he loves him. If you think that is true, then you must think that Brady has the brain of a monkey. Tom is the one who knows what he can and cannot do. I agree with Tom. Have Moss back. I'm in Chicago, and I love this team.
She just pulled an Andy and said, I'm with Tom Brady on this one, like I always do.
If you think Tom Brady would welcome back Randy Moss with open arms, then you have the brain of a monkey.
Oh, wow. Paul is on edge today. Yeah. He really is.
I mean, that's just...
Looking forward to point-counterpoint.
He hasn't taken his Metamucil.
But that was just... That was like, you know...
I take Metamucil.
I know.
Cliche speak 101. Oh, I love Randy. I mean, listen, I know that Brady likes Randy Moss, the person. He was as happy as anyone when he was gone last year. That I know for a fact. He wanted him out. Now all of a sudden I'm to believe a year later everything has changed. Oh, I'd welcome him back with open arms.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. The Big Chadowski is in Georgia. Hey, Big Chadowski.
What's going on, guys? Love the show.
Thank you.
Trey, please don't hang up on me.
I won't.
Talk fast because he's got an itchy trigger finger today.
Make sure you agree with him then.
Yeah.
I was just gonna call in and talk about the defense, but then, the Randy Moss stuff, you know, popped up, so, but I'll get to him at the end. The defense, you know, I hear everyone talking about how, oh, they did so well Sunday, you know, they were awesome, blah, blah, blah. You know, I think the D line and the rushing was a whole lot better than it was, and I think that's what did most of the work, but our coverage.
I agree.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you could flip the Titanic in the middle of the field, and it wouldn't touch anybody. I mean, there is so much space open in that field. And, I mean, we just corner our corners. We don't have anybody that, you know, we don't have a playmaker. I like Devin McCourty. I think he did great last year. But, I mean, nobody makes plays on the ball. It's always like, you know, Kyle Arrington, the ball comes to him. I mean, nobody really makes a play. And, I mean, I don't know, on our coverage. And that's what I got on the defense. But with Randy Moss, you know, I like him too, and I have mixed feelings about him. You know, if he came back, I think it would be, I don't know, I think it would kind of ruin a good thing. You know what I'm talking about? You don't want to ruin a good thing that you got going. And I think with our tight ends and Welker and, you know, Branch, I don't know about Ocho. I mean, I thought he was going to, you know, be a hot commodity, but I guess, you know, it's just all talk. But I like Moss. I wouldn't mind seeing him back, but I don't want to ruin a good thing. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
But that's what I got. Love the show. Keep it up, guys.
All right. Big
especially.
I mean, that's the concern.
Thank you.
You don't want to upset the apple cart.
And the risk is not worth the reward because you're not sure Moss can even still play.
If you were sure
he could still play, then it's an even risk reward.
Okay.
You're not even sure he can play.
So if you were sure that he could play,
I'd think about
think
it.
You think it'd be worth the risk? Maybe
it would be worth thinking about.
Okay,
I am only.
Oh, if I was
think
sure he could play, I never would have traded him last year.
I think
year.
There's only a 25% chance he can still play, maybe less than that. So it's not worth it because I think it'd be a miracle if he can play.
All right, he might have been, you know, taking the good stuff while he'd been waiting to come back.
I'm sure, he was taking the good stuff when he was here.
Oh no.
Oh,
he's
no.
All natural.
Yeah.
Now, a moment ago, Paul, you mentioned for a fact that Brady did not want Moss back. And what is that fact? What's the story?
They had the quarterback had grown tired of babysitting Randy Moss last year.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that.
All right.
Wow. Paul with some inside news.
It's not new.
I was going to say. Right from the Mister.
Yeah, he's going to go over to Fenway to report on the Red Sox. Now.
We don't break a lot of stuff here. Just
according
so you know.
To Paul Perillo of Patriots Football Weekly. Hear that on the next flash.
G4 Driver in Georgia. Another
Georgia
email.
Driver.
He says, "Hey Andy, Fred, Paul, Eric. I'm so happy I don't have to begin this email with Paul. You were right. Hey, that was a great win
you
Sunday.
Don't have to do that.
And I don't think the bye week could." Come at a better time, but unfortunately it wasn't broadcast in the Atlanta area, so I had to watch it on my pewter, and the resolution kind of sucked, so I couldn't see who was wearing the green dot on defense. Was it Guyton?
He has been wearing the green dot, yes.
Whoever it was, I think the defense played much better, and I'm actually on the verge of having some hope. I thought there was some intuitive playing for a change as opposed to read and react. Vince, for once, said that he alerted to the run and ahead of Bo moved up to help shut it down on that 3rd and 13. My question is this. Does it look to you that the guys are finally getting it? I loved Andre Carter playing up to his potential.
Before we get too overly optimistic, I'd like to see more consistency on a week-to-week basis with this defense. Now, you know, look, last year when the Patriots went to Cleveland and got shellacked, was that a sign that the Browns had turned things around and were going to become a great team? Of course not. It was an aberration. So as long as this trend continues with the defense, that's good. But if this was just a one-week thing, then there's nothing to get excited about.
I think it's at least a two-week thing. I give them the Jets.
I give them.
Now, everybody
give them the
says
Jets
the
too.
Jets suck on offense and they can't get out of their own way.
Right.
But you didn't let them get out of their own way against you.
Right. Yeah.
And by the way, the Jets against everybody else score 24 points.
Right.
I don't care if they're defense or returns or whatever, but they find a way to score in 24 or more points, and the Patriots held them down a little bit in their game.
No.
And the yardage was way down in that game. It was like 277 or something like that.
Less than that, I think.
244? Okay. So let's just say 250. So there was, I think Eric's right. I think you do have to temper it a little bit, but this is 2 weeks in a row. I think the defense is showing signs. We talked about, I think, Fred, you said, can we use the I word last week after the Jets game for improvement? And we all said, yeah, that was a big improvement. And then this week they build on that. And like I said, after the game and talking to those guys, it was almost like you could see confidence building. They don't think they're there. They don't think they got it all licked yet.
And if they do, Belichick will.
That was not the prevailing feeling. It was like the media was asking questions along that line, like, "Hey, you guys are great now," and the players were like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa."
Devin McCourty, and maybe it might be a little bit with personal for him because he knows he hasn't played that well, but they tried to get him to say six different ways how great the defense played,
right.
And he said, "Listen, if we can eliminate those things that we're doing wrong, the missed tackle, said the missed tackle that I had on the sideline, some of the third downs that we've been giving up, and we're still letting teams drive the ball on us into the red zone. It's good that we got the stops in the red zone, but we want to stop them from getting there. Then we could talk about great defensive performances instead of good defensive performances."
Freddie, I want to do a quick tease for our Patriots Football Weekly TV show, which will obviously air on Thursday night, 7:30, Comcast. Unless you have it on DirecTV, you won't be able to watch it. It'll be blacked out. But locally, we will have our interview this week with Aaron Hernandez, he of the game-winning touchdown against the Dallas Cowboys, and he of the post-touchdown celebration. He will give you a blow-by-blow explanation of exactly what he was doing, and you'll also get a feel for how the coaching staff and organization may have reacted to the celebration.
Oh, okay.
So just watch. I can't say
anymore. They weren't happy.
Just watch. It's a tease, Eric. You know,
continuing our streak, though, of getting solid players for those one-on-ones.
Good stuff. Dan the Bye Man, or Dan the Man from Virginia, said, Fred and boys.
What? You had nothing there?
That was some interesting.
Well, is he a bye man or is he not a bye man?
Well, he
can't believe
Eric
that
needs
that
to,
one.
Eric really needs to know, or this could get awkward.
Well, thank you.
His email says Dan the Bye Man.
The hell are you laughing at, Insane?
That was some.
He's laughing uncontrollably almost.
That was
while sucking on a lollipop for full disclosure.
Yeah, right. Fred's mad.
Hey, it's
now.
The bye week.
Fred's
if you're
mad.
Gonna dabble, this is the week.
That was some interesting game. It was interesting to me because it was hard-hitting, fast-paced, mental grinding battle. And really good to see the D stepped up to keep it in check. Reminds me of the championship years. A few sacks and a forced fumble can really tell the story. I actually don't remember last time we had a game like that. Hope this will continue. On offense, how did we not take care of the ball? Otherwise, it would have been over 30 points again. We are capable. Ocho really seems lost. Why doesn't Belichick give Taylor Price a shot? Is Crumpler close to being back? And question, Crumpler. Who was the deep threat during the championship years? Thoughts?
David
P.S.
Patton.
Troy Brown looks good in suits on the field.
Yeah, why is Troy Brown in a suit on the field?
I don't know.
I noticed that during the game and was like, why is he on a
suit?
Yeah, and
he got all upset about that.
Well, if he's just a media member now, why? I'd like to watch the game in a suit on the field. Why can't I hang out down there?
He got removed.
Oh, he did?
Did he really?
Yeah.
By who?
PR. The NFL was like, he can't be down there.
See? Other people got worked up when they saw it, too.
Who brought him down to begin
with?
That's
your first contribution to this show ever.
I don't know, but I got yelled at, too, because I was like, my foot was touching like the yellow line. You know the yellow line around the end?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I was like, I wasn't over it, but I was like standing on it.
Was that when you were high-fiving the defensive players when they
come
off?
No, to get a look at the red hat. And Christy was like, just be sure to stay behind that thing because we've gotten some complaints today from the league. So they were out in full force the other day.
He should not be down there.
unless he was a guest of, you know, Robert Kraft.
Did he have an
official pass?
I'm not
sure you're allowed
pass?
To have guests
I don't think he had
during
that
the game.
At all.
Oh, he was there during the game?
Yeah.
He
was like, we didn't think we're talking about before the game.
No, it was during the game.
He passed thousands down there before
the game. During the game. He stayed there, I think.
In the second quarter. Like,
yeah, they showed Bill came over. On the sideline making, maybe when he threw the flag or something.
Yes, that's what it was.
And Troy Brown was like right behind his, right in the picture.
He had headsets on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said,
you didn't see that?
No, I didn't.
And you are deaf in your left freaking ear.
I had to, I got the binoculars. I looked down. I was like, yep, that's Troy Brown.
So what was he doing down there?
Watching the game. I don't know.
You are amazing.
I just almost threw my pen at him.
No, because I saw him before the game. I figured he was just there and then left when the game started.
No, he stayed until
That is kind of odd.
Yeah.
It was very odd. But
it must have been all right with Belichick.
Well, he is technically us now. He's a media member.
He might not have noticed.
Belichick doesn't notice anything.
Yeah.
What?
Not like that. Are you kidding? Like, he's like almost walked into me like four times, and I've had to get out of the way. He doesn't even recognize anybody else is there. Nothing's going on.
I can believe that.
I actually signed with Nothing on his side. He might have noticed if
like
him
behind
the field. If Michael Irvin was on the Dallas sideline, I bet he'd have noticed that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
To get back to the email, the Ocho thing, I just wanted to tie in Teddy Bruschi's on one of the TVs in the corner of my eye. I don't know if you saw yesterday. He believes that on the Ocho play, which we all thought looked like it had been schemed up for Ocho, he had the four guys on the one side, him on the back side, and Brady threw to him, and they were on the wrong wavelength. He thinks Aaron Hernandez was the first target on that, something to do with the safety or something else. That was his read from afar. And then I don't know if you saw that Bill O'Brien kind of
took the heat for that. Yeah.
Said, I went to the well one too many times or whatever. I don't really know what that means.
Well, he also said, I didn't put him in the best position
to
succeed.
Yeah, what does that mean?
I don't know.
On the field?
What?
In a direct line between Tom Brady and the ball or whatever?
I'm just kidding, obviously. But I don't know what that play, if it was supposed to go to the group. You know, the bunch formation was. Do you think it was supposed to be maybe a screen?
Well, I think
it looked like it was three guys designed that way.
You wouldn't just design the play so it only can go to Ocho. There's got to be some read on it, so there is a front side option.
It was
so
a pretty quick throw, though, wasn't it?
Well, that's what I thought. That's what made me believe Brady saw what he wanted, and it was boom. It was Ocho.
I think he did look to the.
That's what
the far
Bruce
side first.
He looked off the safety, looked to Hernandez, and then quickly turned back.
But I thought it was one of the. Listen, obviously I was wrong because they're saying that it was designed for Hernandez. I thought the look to the safety was part of the play.
Right.
Yeah.
To come back to Ocho.
That's what I thought.
I made the comment to Andy. I was like, you know, they clearly had something specific that they worked on for Ocho there, and they still couldn't.
I got that same impression watching it live,
which was
doing it to draw the safety that way, and then he went immediately to Ocho.
To me, the way it looked like it was supposed to be designed is, you know, again, look off the safety, and Ocho drives out, then comes back, because when Brady threw it, he threw it to nobody.
Right.
And I thought that, to me, it looked like Ocho didn't come back, and it was
probably still true, that part of it.
But Ocho never looked like he had an intention of coming back.
Right.
I think he probably thought it was going to Hernandez, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. But it was typical of Ocho. Which is not a shot. It's just an observation that came out kind of sounding like mean.
Yeah. But more often than not, that's how the plays that have been involving Ocho this year
right.
They haven't looked right. It's like I keep saying that about the offense the last 2 weeks. It just hasn't looked the same. Well, the offense doesn't look the same ever when Ocho's involved.
The more and more you look at this, in Cincinnati, they must have just said, just go out.
Right, and we'll throw you.
And we'll throw the ball to you, you know?
Either that or there's just a whole lot different about the number system as opposed to a word system.
Oh, no. I don't think it's – I think it's all the reads.
That's what I'm talking about.
I think
the number
Cincinnati
system just told
reads.
Him he had to make the – he run, he
run
ran
this
the
route.
Route. Yeah. If I hear that number, I know I'm running that route. Here, it must be totally dependent on the coverage and all that stuff.
It
and
is.
He can't pick it up.
Oh, it definitely is. But I don't think it's numbers, words. I think it's just flat out – they didn't have a lot of adjustments. Once you got a route, you were running it. The three guys had their routes. They were running them.
You could break out of the huddle.
Here,
after
I think
the first,
each guy can run two, so there's six potential routes Brady's throwing.
That's more than what I mean.
And he just probably never had to read it in his life. And it's sad.
Damien in Southeast England doesn't like the move to put Falk back on a roster spot. Well, they haven't yet, but he says, I'm not sure how much Falk is going to help us with his age and coming off that type of injury. I would have liked Cannon and Brace to add depth to those two areas. We are one injury away from running back being a big need, but I'm just not 100% sure that the position is something that needs addressing right now, guard and the interior line were where I thought we would address with the POP guys.
I wonder if Falk pushed the envelope here and said, make a decision on me. I got the impression
he's had a lot of comments about that the last couple of weeks.
That he didn't want to wait around the full 6 weeks and all that and go the Troy Brown route and all that crap. I wonder if maybe they're doing him a favor and they're going to make an early assessment rather than a later assessment. And maybe he ends up on IR. Maybe he's done. But I wonder if he pushed the envelope here. I know he thought he had a chance. He was disappointed he didn't get activated in camp.
And he said that again today.
Right.
About, you know, I was ready to go right from the get-go.
So I wonder if there's some veteran benefit of the doubt here. Okay, you think you're ready. We'll make the decision sooner on you.
I do agree that the a bigger need is the interior line. I think that's got to say something about Cannon.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that is the most pressing need out of the spots for these guys that are available. I think that was the most pressing need, and the fact that they're waiting at least 1 week. Well, maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe they'll start him tomorrow. I don't know. But my guess is that he won't practice tomorrow either, and if the window starts for him, it'll be next week at the earliest.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Bob writes in, and he says, cold hard football facts coined a football category, quality wins and quality losses, which is defined as wins or losses against opponents that finished above 500 in a season.
Brilliant.
Or are currently during the season above 500. Here is a comparison of the elite quarterback since 2010 to show you how great Brady has been over the past 22 games in quality games. Brady's 9-2, and then the closest is Rodgers at 5-2, and then everyone else is under 500. So, interesting. But no one cares here.
I don't really know what it was about.
Not particularly in that. No, I have to agree. I don't.
They don't have good consultants like I do when they put together their stats.
I mean, 14-2, I don't think Brady's numbers are going to be too bad against too many teams, too many categories.
Josh writes in about the
broadcast. Plus, a long week is a short week. Plus, when a short week is a long week.
When he's winning his 14, isn't he beating the guys that are automatically going to have losing records because they're losing to him? That's going to hurt their record, right? I mean, isn't that going to be
another good factor?
They're going to be tight.
I'm going to stick with Bill again on this one. There's no quarterback I'd rather have.
He plays Rodgers and Manning every year. I mean, he's going to beat them, so they have worse records.
Josh writes in about the network poll. He says, I go ESPN, then CBS and Fox. I don't like either the sound or the picture quality of Fox. Picture is particularly bad, in my opinion.
Yeah, I like ESPN's picture, and I think CBS is. I see it more often, so maybe that sways me, but I think CBS does a good job.
Think CBS does a good job, too.
I don't really can't think. NBC, NFL Network's not very good.
If we're going to add them, that would be the worst. But I think NBC is too much about NBC. I think they think they're the show.
You think?
You know,
Bob Costas does a monologue, and then they send out a transcript of his monologue.
So I don't like that.
Who gives a rat's katukas?
I don't like their whole production.
Derek writes in. He says, except hey, guys, Rodney. And Fred Bumper Car Kirsch.
It is bye week, after all.
Been a while since I checked in. Unfortunately, my school schedule sucks this semester.
You never go to class anyway.
I can assure you, however, I have been loyally listening and downloading the podcast every show.
Thank you.
Just a quick thought. Why does everyone complain about the arguing? I love it. From the arguments that end in right, or Aunt Paul saying to Andy, you know you really are a pretentious douche sometimes. Even though you might have to turn down the volume when Paul goes from zero to hot, that's what makes the show great. My question for you guys today is, do you think James Ahedebo should be the starter with Patrick Chung moving forward, or do you think we should stick with Josh Barrett? I know I sure as hell know it's not Brown. I thought Ahedebo played well again on Sunday and think he definitely earned more playing time. I know you guys briefly mentioned this the other day, but any more thoughts on this subject? And thanks for everything, guys, including the iPad app, which I love with all the content. Even though I haven't been able to call or email in very often this semester, I will always listen to the show and hopefully can call or email soon. Well, you just did.
Now, this is where, Andy, you have to stick up for your guy Jimmy Sanders, because if you had him, you would have had two stable players at the safety position, and certainly, that would have not been an issue this year.
Right, and then when Chung goes down, you would have had Barrett or Ahedebo or one of these guys to fill in for a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't be forcing them in. I think both of them have had their ups and downs. I'm not confident that either is a starter, and I'd like to see more from
Barrett
both.
Barrett or Ahedebo.
Yeah, so I'd like to. I'm not willing to anoint either of them the guy next to Chung.
Not yet either.
I agree that neither one of them I don't think is a long-term answer, but I think Ahedebo has been better than Barrett was.
I think he has.
And I don't
think
Hedebel played as well Sunday as he did the Jets game. I thought he played really well.
I think Barrett has more potential. I don't know why I think that.
Speaking of, he
may have more potential, but I think what they've done this year, I think Hedebel has played better.
Mm-hmm. There's a report that the Eagles are shopping around Asante Samuel.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
Any interest?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
sure.
Absolutely.
God, yeah.
As a player,
I would take him.
I don't know what the cost is, or you know, if the cost is like Carson Palmer and it's 2 ones. No, thank you.
We haven't even mentioned that.
Absolute insanity.
That's my around the NFL.
Do you realize
for the
now
TV
the
show.
Raiders don't have a first round pick for the next 4 years?
Ah, well, maybe, right? Because it's a conditional.
Well, conditional.
2-1.
At the very least, they'll lose a second round again. Right. But if he plays well or a lot.
So how do they lose the ones after that?
They had already given up ones for other trades.
Wow. I hadn't heard that. Yeah. I heard something about the first 4 rounds next year they don't have picks.
Right.
That
is
unbelievable. True. They don't have a first round pick.
Maybe
for
you're
four.
Right. Maybe that's it.
I'm pretty why do I see this is what happens when you fall into the blind faith
yeah,
category.
You're right. They don't have a pick for the first 4 rounds.
Wow.
That is not even close to first round pick for 4 years. Yeah. They're not even close. That's there's numbers 4 and 1, but
stuff like the latter happens all the time.
And
the Redskins had that all the time.
And they wouldn't have a first round pick for 2013 if he plays
good.
A lot.
Yeah. But we don't know what the conditions are, do we? Did they come out with that?
No.
I mean, for all I know, it's that you know, as I think Rosenthal put it, you know, for all I know, it's they have to win the Super Bowl. Right. For it to be a first
but I don't
pick,
care if a 1 and a 2 for a guy who stinks.
1-1 is too much for him.
I wouldn't have given
right
up,
now.
Yeah, I wouldn't have given up more than a 2 for him.
Yeah.
And that to me,
it's a guy who hasn't played
I'd
all
feel
year.
Sick to my stomach doing it. I think he's done.
Well, the question is, who's making that decision in Oakland now?
Supposedly Mark, right? Mark
and
Davis.
Really? Hugh Jackson was the one really, really wanted to do it.
Okay, he might be the one
from his time in Houston. Yeah. I mean, not Houston, in Cincinnati.
He
loved
should call the Raiders and see if they want Ocho.
Yeah,
he loves him, right? Chad Johnson's his son.
Yeah.
Get on the phone.
Who do we want?
Do you think Palmer would say, I ain't going?
we wouldn't be able to get a first until 2014 out of him, though.
Not even the Raiders are dumb enough to give you a first.
No, but
he's got nine.
You
want to
stockpile? Bill likes to stockpile.
This guy has no pass attempts, and they gave a first and a second.
Yeah, but
coming off a terrible season.
But Ocho has proven himself can't play. He went to the new place
I'm
and can't
pretty
play.
Sure Palmer proved the same thing.
Change of scenery.
Not
you lose the change of scenery option with Ocho.
But
the scenery changed and he got worse.
That's
a bit of a stretch,
together.
Young Andy.
I mean, he knows Carson Palmer, knows Ocho.
He hates him.
Does
that's
he?
The fly in the ointment.
Oh, he hates him?
Even if you could miss the Raiders.
I don't think they would.
Yeah.
I think he would say, it
would
going.
Nullify and voidify the previous trade.
Nullify and voidify.
Aaron and Sterling says, I agree with those that like Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels as
do you
the
add a G to that?
Yes, he
does. Did. He did, yeah.
There's no G in it.
There's no G. It's Collins.
It's Collinsworth. Every time you add a G.
As the best commentator. So I got to go with NBC as
now.
The best overall. I like ESPN next, but I wonder if I like these two because the best because they get the night games, which just have better production. For day games, I like CBS. Fox is just the worst. I don't like their baseball broadcasts either. Their commentators annoy me, and I'm sick of that robot. They do have good sound, Cletus. I guess, but that's pretty low on my list of must-haves. Now on to Fred. Randy Moss? I would rather have Santana Moss. Hell, give me Kate Moss if she's in the mood. The kids call that DTF, I believe.
Down to. They raped by Ben Roethlisberger.
Then I suppose they would want to have Randy Moss after that, but that's the only way.
What about Zephros? I'd take him still.
Zephros Moss.
Who's 800 pounds now?
Benny Moss?
Benny Moss. I've never heard of him,
news,
but I'll take
according
him.
According to maybe strippers, somebody named Jimmy Traina. Is he a reporter? I don't know. He says the Raiders have called the Jets and offered Darren McFadden for Plastico Burress. May add picks to sweeten the deal.
It's a joke.
Oh, it is a joke. Okay.
Good Lord. Don't do that, strippers. You confuse the old man.
Let's see. Fred, last week you stated Andy was being Mr. Perfect again. Do you mean he had a hemorrhoid surgery and now he is a perfect a-hole? Insert Andy calling me an a-hole or other expletive.
No, I enjoyed it. Lame jokes are funny.
As for the Pats, they appear to be getting a bit better on defense. Tackling still needs work. My question is, what is happening to the offense and the turnovers? If they were playing a real good team, like the Packers or Ravens, they would have lost with two or more turnovers. Good job, guys. Being a disabled vet and stuck at home frequently, you guys are a pleasure to listen to.
Thank you very much for your service.
Yes, thank you. I donate to the cause, too. Get a lot of address labels from them.
Steven writes in. We're getting close to the end here. Who has been the best offseason pickup, in your opinion, so far?
Yeah. What, I missed it. Sorry.
Best offseason pickup so far this season?
Carter and Ellis, maybe?
I'd say Carter.
Combined? One of those two?
Yeah.
I guess Carter, but
Brian Waters?
Yeah. Mm. Oh, Brian Waters. Good, Andy.
Yeah, that's probably the better one.
I haven't really had a lot of contributions from any of them.
Carter's a one-week wonder unless you wanted your run stuff in defensive end.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for
this. No, is it?
Yeah.
That went fast.
It stinks that we have to go to the TV show now.
That's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Is John Rook coming in?
I saw him somewhere.
He's in there.
He's right behind me.
Oh, okay. John Rook will be here for the Patriots playbook. And then, of course, Pete Shepard. It's always good to listen to Pete Shepard after a win. We'll see you tomorrow at noon. Thanks for listening.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.